Okay, if I can ask everybody's attention, I'll call the meeting to order. And Councillor McClure, if you can please read the prayer and lead us in O Canada, please.
Okay.
Grant us, O God, perception and patience, that truth, that justice and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from parochialism that divides, and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action, that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Okay, moving to the approval of the agenda, first of all, I want to say we're going to go with 1A and 1B. Number one is Peggy Tollett, Treasurer, is going to give a status of overview, and Mr. Wong is going to be the other part of it, which is going to give the wrap-up from yesterday. Then also, well, the changes are Mary Hall, in her place will be Patricia DeSorrell. And we also have Virginia DeLauro and Sharon Wilson will be doing the library report. And we'll just to everybody's okay on that, we're going to allow them to go first on the process. We'll rearrange the agenda for them. So we don't have to put them through the whole process here. And number six is, I'm adding another one, is the for where we're going to have section six is we're going to add the notices of motion that we want to bring forward after we've heard all the rest of our council reports. Okay, so if everybody's good with that, moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Innes, that council waive the procedure bylaw to permit notice of motions, which is section six. Okay, all in favor of that? Carried. And moved by Councillor McClure and second by Councillor Innes that the agenda of February 3rd, 2015 council meeting be approved as amended. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? None. And we'll go on to the proposed department presentations. So what we'll do first is we'll start off with Ms. Tollett and then with Mr. Wong.
Okay, good afternoon. We're here again. I'm going to give you an update from yesterday, and I've also updated the slide deck just to, based on the motions that came through yesterday, just to show you the impact. So again, we start with the January 13th meeting. We originally started that with the budget. That was our first view of the operating capital budget for the proposed 2015. Then we had the special council meeting on the 21st, and that was a chance for the public to kind of give their say on the budget. We have the departmental presentations February 2nd, 3rd, and today's the second day of that. And hoping to wrap up the budget on March 3rd with the finalizing of the budget and the new fees bylaw. Okay, so just to kind of give you a wrap up of where we were. So this has changed slightly from last night. So we have the one project that was approved in the December 9th meeting, which I talked about earlier, which was $553,000. $361,000 is being approved from the one-time fund, or actually it's 3 years of funding, but 1 year is $361,000, and it's from the Ontario Community Infrastructure Funding. So there is the difference of the funding of the $192,000 is being funded from the tax funded contingency reserve, so there's no impact to the 2015 budget. In December 16th, we had a motion for the drainage plan for the Alton Village. That cost us $100,000. For January 27th, we had a report that was asking for an additional $15,000, and that is being funded by the tax-funded contingency reserve. Last night, we had removal of one of the unmet needs, number 12, which was the recreation development coordinator, so that's the $150,000. Then we have the $24,000, which is basically being funded by the additional money left in that project, 14-103, to do the tourism website, the asset base database, and the wayfinding signage with that remaining money. And then also what's brought forward was the paperless agenda, or the software that is currently being used by the region and probably Brampton, Mississauga, so that's a cost of $100,000. So that changed our totals a bit. So when we originally proposed the budget, we were at 2.3. With these motions, we're up about 50,000, so just 0.10 of a percent. And that gives our budget shortfall as of February 3rd at 2.3 million, or 4.82%. I just added this slide just as an overall. This doesn't change that 2% really, because it's kind of a rounding. It was before, it was 1.998, so now we're at 2 exactly. So at the town at 4.82, you add the region estimated 1.9, and assuming the school board does zero, the overall tax rate would be 2% increase. That doesn't account for shifting or anything like that for assessment, but the overall tax increase would be 2%. And that's roughly, again, still the $82. That concludes my short presentation.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, there seems to be a little bit of question about getting the 2%. Can you actually probably just do the math lesson on how you get actually to a 2%?
Okay, so the town's portion is the 482, but then when you take the region's overall budget and they proportion a portion for the town, they also take the OPP budget that we have to pay for because that's over and above, and they remove the region's police costs because the OPP, we pay for that service ourselves. And that gets us to the 1.9, and then when you average them out together, all together the budget, it's overall is 2%. So the overall budget's 2% increase.
Okay. Okay, Councillor McClure.
Yes, these numbers make me nervous. Every year we put it up, another 4.8%, our constituents are going to be hanging us. I think we got to sharpen our pencils. I don't know what the rest of you think, but this makes me a little nervous. We just got voted in, but maybe they're going to be throwing us out. I think we got to do better than that somehow.
Okay, Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I know that there's going to be a number of motions between now and March 3rd, but as this is the most recent information, would it be possible for council to receive these pages?
Sure.
So, like, for my records, I'd like to insert it and keep it up to date. If that, I could ask that, that'd be great.
I'll circulate that.
And that extra 1% for the.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, so this was brought forward yesterday. It still has to be voted upon on the March 3rd budget, but it was basically to go to a paperless agenda and a replacement, basically, of our EDOC system, and that would be approximately $100,000 cost to that. Oh. It still has to be voted upon, but that would be what was costed out.
For me, I'd like the paper. That's just my thought.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I think to Councillor McClure's comments, I think we've always got to focus and should always focus on the blended rate, the 2%. When you look at, for example, a lot of people are talking to me now, Toronto, City of Toronto is talking about 2.75. Seven. And they're saying they're at 2.75. We, if you want to be comparable for the basket of services, we're sitting around 2%. Anytime I've been on this council, or the time I've been on this council, and Alan can back me up, is that we've always thought about what has been the total amount that our residents are paying. We find out what the region is charging. The last number of years, we've been 0% for the school board, and we've always tried to concentrate on what the overall rate is. And I think in the future going forward, we've always got to keep in mind what that bottom rate is. We can't turn around in the future and say, well, the region took more money this year. All of a sudden, there's a school board increase. I think what we've got to concentrate on trying to keep our increase as reasonable, and I think 2% is a relatively reasonable number, looking at what can potentially happen in the future. So I think if we as a council focus on the 2% and try and work with that, we're going to continue to get the work done that we need to. I think if you look at the slide, Peggy, and if you can bring that up some point again, the gap on our capital that we're still short on. That gap is projects that we aren't, or equipment and maintenance that we aren't doing to keep buildings open, for example, keep equipment on the road, keep roads built. And there's still a gap there. I think if, as a council, if we want to leave a legacy for future councils and future residents, is to try and close that gap as much as we reasonably can, keeping in mind the bottom tax rate or the overall blended tax rate, because that's going to give us the stability in the future when other when the other levels of government decide that they need more, for education, or they need more for social services, which is what the regional councillors are dealing with. So to Councillor McClure's comment, I would ask him, rather than focus on the 4.82, please focus on and talk to your friends and neighbours about the 2%.
That was well put together, Nick. Way to go. Proud of you. Thank you. I don't have to. You did a good job. Okay, well, call on Mr. Wong. Thank you very much, Ms. Tollett.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. At yesterday's meeting, I was asked what the revenue projections were for Canadian Tire. I mentioned at the meeting that this was covered off in a report that was, I thought it was last year, but it was actually June of 2013. It's in report DP 2013-077. Joanne is handing that report out right now, and I have extra copies if anybody in the public wants to copy that report. So on page 12 of 18 of that report, it talks about the fiscal impact analysis, and it talks about what was in the fiscal impact analysis. In the second paragraph, it talks about some of the projected revenues. So basically, the second paragraph outlines that development charge revenues are anticipated to be up to $6.8 million, building permit revenues approximately $1 million, commercial property tax revenue about $800,000. And those are the revenue projections that were included back then for Canadian Tire.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Fu Wing. So if I understand it then correctly, the revenues that we would get after this is all said and done, when all the other stuff is taken out, is $800,000, and that's just to the town?
Through Mayor Thompson, the $800,000 is ongoing, so it's property tax revenue, which is ongoing,
right?
Perpetual revenue, yes.
And that's the town's portion. So the region doesn't get anything out of there, and the school board doesn't get anything.
And through you, Mayor Thompson, that's correct. That what's being shown is the town portion for DC's property tax and building permit revenues.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for the clarification, Mr. Wong. Okay, to move forward, if we can now call on Sharon Wilson and Virginia DeLauro to... and Virginia... We want to thank you for all you've done for the library board over the years, and I know you worked tirelessly on this budget, so it's great to have you here to be part of the process.
Good afternoon, Your Honor, Mayor Thompson and councilors. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. We're a bit different from the departmental budget presentations you have heard so far. Because of the terms set out in the Ontario Public Libraries Act, this budget is not a staff budget. It belongs to the Caledon Public Library Board. In light of that, I would like to introduce the chairman of the Library Board, Virginia DeLauro, who will briefly summarize the accomplishments and goals of the library. I will limit my brief comments to the library's unmet needs and any comments or questions you may have at the end. I give you Virginia DeLauro.
Thank you. Who's pushing buttons here? Is this my button? No. Thank you. I would like to say thank you on behalf of the Library Board for all your continuing support to the Caledon Public Library. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to you. I especially thank you for your vision in preparing for a new library branch at Mayfield West. With your stewardship, the Caledon Public Library has accomplished many things. We do engage and connect the communities of Caledon. Some 25,000 residents of Caledon have library cards. In 2014, there were approximately 230,000 physical visits to our branches, 12,000 Wi-Fi sessions, 290,000 item checkouts, and 22,000 checkouts from our digital library. We provide 1,500 programs in all the 7 branches of the Caledon Public Library, and approximately 14,000 people participate in them. Every 90 minutes, someone in Caledon connects with the Caledon Public Library. The library is a big part of Caledon. It's involved in many of the opportunities that Caledon provides. Our staff participate in all kinds of town committees, the Seniors Advisory Council, the Pan Am Games, and any number of committees in the town. We also partner with organizations in the town, such as Caledon Community Services, Meals on Wheels, Toronto Regional Conservation Authority, Brampton Community Living, Peel Art Gallery. We also participate in provincial library buying consortiums and the Federation of Ontario Public Libraries. The library has to respond to a growing population and changing demographics. We have to make sure our buildings and our services apply to everyone. We have to accommodate patrons' increasing expectations and new interests. We have to keep step with new technologies and formats and how we deliver our services. And now I will give you Sharon Wilson.
I wish to speak only to number 8 on the list of unfunded, unmet needs. Our service to the young people of Caledon is some of the most important work we do. Our youth services staff's work in early literacy and their development and encouragement of lifelong learning is also very valuable. I've heard the promotion of Caledon as an employer of choice. The library would like to align ourselves with that initiative by converting these part-time positions to full-time. Just as these enthusiastic members of the library team are beginning to set down their roots in Caledon, they are lured away by full-time jobs elsewhere. This item has been on our list of unmet needs for many years, and in that period of time, we have lost librarians who wanted to stay in Caledon but left for full-time jobs elsewhere. I ask that you consider funding this one important unmet need. Thank you. We are excited about the new branch that you have committed to fund in Mayfield West, and thank you for the vision in that project. We have a short presentation here today. It's pretty straightforward, but if you have any questions, Virginia and I will be happy to respond. I'd like to remind everyone, this is only my second day on the job, so if I can't answer your question now, I will get back to you with a response. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I don't have any questions on the board as of yet, but I will ask you one. How many square feet are we looking at for the Caledon West Library? Is this for Southfields? Yeah. Okay. I know there, because I worked on the library board as a counselor for 2 terms, and I know there was a square footage that we were figuring mm-hmm. was needing for the size of the growth. But looking at the growth projections, and I'm just saying this is a conversation that I think we need to have. Mm-hmm. Are we better to wait and have it on the west side, empower Margaret Dunn at the time being? Because I think it's a very disservice if we don't build the library big enough to serve the community needs on what the future growth is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I want to challenge the library board. Right now we're fitting you in with other amenities in the Southfield, so it concerns me. I think the library should be a focal point. And on the west side of Mayfield West, we can do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying for what we're trying to do, we have yet to design and figure out. Mm-hmm. But I think that I would ask the library board to please be cognizant, because let's not be disservice to it just to get a new building. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we service it, that it services the community as a hub. Yeah. Prime example is you look at Mississauga. My son goes to Hazel McCallion down there now. That library's thriving. Sure, they got Second Cup in there. That helps a lot, too. But it's a thriving community. It's all walks of life that are walking through there. And I don't mean in class distinctions. What I mean is from little ones to seniors. Yeah. It's a hub of activity. Yeah. I think that's what I want to see this become. Absolutely. And my concern is I'm just wondering, is really Southfield's the right spot, or should we really make it what it can become on the west side? And I challenge that for the library board to think.
There certainly have been no discussions about where it might be located or what it might be partnered with or any of that thing. You know, I mean, we're just in the beginning stages.
Right.
The library is a part of every community. It's the hub of every community, and we need to work towards that, certainly.
Thank you for all the services. I can tell you the community is grateful for you, for one of the few places I have in high-speed internet for kids to upload homework. I've heard that so many times, and I'm sure the councillors can agree to that. Yeah. Councillor McClure, I see you're on the list. Next.
Yeah. I've been proud to have been on the library board for the last 4 years, and I'm on again for another 4 years. And we're going to miss Virginia over there. She kept us in line, and we're going to miss Bill Manson, but I'm sure, Sharon, you'll do a good job, too.
Thank you.
And I'm excited that we're making a new building, and Bill Manson, he took Patty over there and made to, didn't you come? Maybe you didn't come. Well, Alan went.
Yeah.
And we saw two or three libraries. We saw the one over at Vaughan. And that was exciting. That was beside a school, and it was a two-story. And we have to have one that's a lot like Chapters. There has to be a fireplace. There has to be places to sit. There has to be a little fancier. And being beside some kind of a school would help. I don't read a lot of books, but I am a library member, and I think something like we're doing, we should be all proud of it. Okay, that's all.
Thank you, Councillor McClure.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Just some questions around your unfunded unmet needs on number 8. And I guess I've just joined you guys on the library board. I've attended one meeting, so just trying to find some information. You said that it's been on the unfunded unmet needs for a number of years.
Yes.
These are currently 3 positions that exist already.
Yes. They're part-time now. We'd like to make them full-time positions.
You said you've just got people rolling through because they'll start and then they'll go somewhere else.
Yes, we've lost some excellent children's librarians because they're well-qualified. They have master's degrees, and they are looking for full-time jobs, and we can't offer that to them.
Okay. If it's possible, is there a written job description within the organization for them? Now, I don't guess it's not here, it would actually be with the library. Is that how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Could you send a copy of the written job description for that to us, please?
Yes, certainly.
And I think Dick and I should be on the committee that picks the new new replacement, Bill Manson's replacement.
How's that fit in with the budget, Gord?
Okay, you got any more questions?
No, that's. I'd like to see the job description and the information to it. That would be all in benefits primarily. If they're already on staff, it would just be primarily benefits to cover benefits, correct?
Yes, most of it. Yeah, some hours to get them up to the full-time 35 hours plus their benefits, yes, because none of them have benefits right at the moment. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
And they do programs in all 7 of our branches and that sort of thing, so.
And that's including Margaret Dunn, right? Where we're having a lot of complaints and not enough hours. So that would help us out there, would it?
Yep.
Perfect.
And when you consider in the future we're going to have a bigger branch over in Mayfield West, there'll be even more programs happening there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Okay. All right. I have no further questions, so thank you very much for your delegation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. We'll go on to our next. Mr. Loveridge will come forward to do his public works report, and I see after yesterday you brought a whole army. Is this the military strategy that
Mayor and Council? It's also my second day here, and so I hope you'll be as nice to me as you were to the library board. So thank you, Mayor Thompson and Council, for the opportunity to present my first Public Works budget, hopefully not my last. I'd like to, again, as you pointed out, Mayor Thompson, I have brought the entire management team from Public Works, and so they were involved in this process from the beginning. So,
do you mind introducing them all to
me? Yeah, I'm not sure if everybody knows them all. So Manager of Engineering, Lucius Matra. Manager of Roads and Fleet, Mike Beatty. Tom Darlow, Manager of Facilities. Ryan Grodecki, Manager of Traffic Engineering as of last week. Sarah Peckbert, Manager of Energy and Sustainability and Green Things. And then, and I should have made, yeah. Yeah, it's not what I should have said. And then Leo Butko, Manager of Regulatory Services. So very happy today to be able to present our budget. Is this working? Yeah. No? This one? Oh, that one. Fancy. Okay. I don't want to spend a lot of time on accomplishments. We have it in there, and I know that you've had an opportunity to read it. I think there's a couple points I'd like to make. It's been a busy year for Public Works in 2014. Of one of the major things that accomplished over the last year is really completing the reorganization of Public Works and reconstituting the management team. That took us up to almost May of last year and to put together a management team that could help us build and move the Public Works team forward. Throughout the year, there's been another interesting initiatives that we've taken. Some that you're going to start to see the fruits of our labor in the next little while. For example, the new idle-free bylaw. We're in the process now of going into a full implementation, and you're going to see a lot of marketing and advertising related around the idle-free bylaw. On top of that, the ice storm, which we had, you saw, we also had one of the largest capital works programs in the history of the town. Again, with a new team, a lot of challenges to bring that back up to speed. We presented an asset management plan to this council, the first asset management plan brought forward. Still a lot of work or a lot of opportunity to improve the asset management plan, and we plan to do that as we move forward. On the engineering side, we also completed the first complete road evaluation of all of the town roads. In previous history, that was done in-house. This year, we actually contracted it out to a company that came in with the equipment required to do a full evaluation. And so now we know the condition of all of our roads. We also completed a comprehensive review of a lot of the capital works projects, and you're going to see that today in our budget in the sense of we're recommending the closure of a number of capital projects that have been hanging around for a few years. We also were imposed this year the one-call process from the province this year. That's a big initiative that we spent a lot of time getting ready, and that basically is one call to one central agency in the province, and then we have a requirement to respond to that for anyone or any company that wishes to dig in the town itself. That was a little bit of a surprise for us. We're up and running now, and things are going quite well. On the roads and fleet side, one of the issues we have with the fleet is, you know, we've done a lot of changes to our fleet over the last few years. We're trying to consolidate what that fleet looks like and start to plan for the future. We are talking about service levels, how long we keep vehicles, how many miles they should have on it, and we also have come forward now starting this year with our first fleet replacement program in the 2015 budget. We've started a reorganization of the road operations. We've seen parts of that in the sense of running at two crews instead of one. Again, some challenges there. Energy and sustainability. I talked about the town idle-free bylaw. We also did a lot of work this year on the LED streetlight, doing a complete inventory of all of our streetlights. And on the facility side, a lot of work done internally in reorganizing Town Hall to accommodate staff and the reorganizations that have gone on. And on top of that, working on the Pan Am facilities. I wanted to talk a little bit about the objectives and goals of Public Works as we move forward. One of the things that I did shortly after I got here is we took a look at the community-based strategic plan. We built an entire performance objective plan for all of the managers within Public Works. down to specific tasks that we'd like to accomplish in 2014 and 2015. I obviously can't go through those 11 pages of objectives and goals that we have in a short presentation time I have here today, so I've kind of categorized it into four separate categories. One is maintaining the rural-urban balance to ensure prosperity and diversity of Caledon. Second is establishing baseline service levels and staffing requirements. Three is technology-driven engagement and service delivery. And number four is maintaining Caledon's green leadership position. Pretty well everything that we do, with some exceptions, falls into those four broad categories of objectives and goals that we have for 2015. On top of that, based on direction that we've got from Council over the last year, and I'm sure direction that we'll get as we move forward, I think most of what you're going to ask us to do will fall within those categories. Maintaining the rural-urban balance to ensure prosperity and diversity is the first one, and I'm just going to touch on a couple of things that I think are important to move us forward from Public Works and from the town's perspective. In 2015, I'd like to complete a full review and update of the town's development engineering standards. The last time these development standards were updated was 2007, and prior to that was 2002. We're now in 2015. Technology changes, the way buildings are put together, the way developments are put together, all change. We need to update our development standards. And so one of the acts that we're asking for today is an individual to come in and to help us move those development standards forward. I'm not recommending it go out to a consultant. I'd like to have this done in-house by staff, as it is a major effort that requires input from all departments. We want to complete a road characterization study. The region just completed this, and really where we want to go with this is, for years now, we've replaced like for like across the town. If it's a two-lane road with a small shoulder, we've replaced it with a two-lane road with a small shoulder. If it was a one-lane bridge, we replaced it with a one-lane bridge. We need to have a better view and a longer-term view of what our roads are going to look like. We want to categorize them into different categories. We have cycling routes, we have agricultural roads, we have different commuter routes as time has gone on. And so that's an area that we'd like to spend a little bit more time on. We want to complete planning construction of some major infrastructure initiatives. Initiatives that were approved prior to my arrival, but are important to the success of this town and to the financial well-being. Those include completing the Kennedy Road widening within Mayfield West 1. They include the Tullamore area to get that into a place where we can actually open up the Tullamore area for additional commercial industrial development. And to complete two sections of Simpson Road, what we're calling Simpson North and Simpson South, to open up all the lands along Simpson. Those were previously approved by this council. We are well into development, or getting, the engineering completed on all of those. And we're hoping this year in 2015 to be able to complete the Kennedy Road expansion and the Simpson Road North pieces of those four different developments. We are well into a stormwater management master plan. One of the big areas for us is stormwater management, and we're not talking just stormwater management ponds. We're talking the ponds, the storm sewers, our ditches, and our driveway culverts. Together, all four of those elements form our stormwater management system across the town. Not a lot of work, not a lot of effort spent on any four of those specific areas, and we would like to remedy that as we move forward. You're going to see some bylaws come forward this year. Commercial fill or a comprehensive fill bylaw, a septic system inspection and maintenance program, and a clean yards property standards bylaw. All of those to help, again, maintain the rural-urban balance to ensure the diversity and prosperity of, I can't say that word, prosperity. It's a tough word, for Caledon. Establishing baseline levels and staffing needs. One of the big issues that I found when I got here was the fact that we didn't have a full understanding of our assets. Not a criticism of anyone that came before me, but something that is an ongoing requirement. We have a lot of assets in this town. And you've heard numbers of 700, 750 million. Probably by the time we put it all together, we're going to be pushing on $1 billion worth of assets in this town. And all of those assets require some sort of maintenance and capital improvements. We're talking roads, bridges, culverts, pedestrian bridges, sidewalks, fences, curbs, stormwater management, fleet, town facilities. A lot of those add up together are a lot of assets. The issue with those is we need to know what we own, we need to know where they are, and when I talk about where we are, not just like, oh, it's located on the corner of X and X, where they are from a GIS perspective, the exact coordinates, how deep our sewers are, how they run, all of that kind of stuff, and finally and most importantly, what condition they are. Unless we know all three of those elements of what we own, where it is, and what condition it's in, it's very difficult for anyone to do any long-term capital planning. And so a lot of effort's been spent by my staff over the last year getting that information together. Are we there? No. We know where what our roads are now. We know what our bridges are. We've started on the storm sewers. There's a contract out today on the storm sewers to figure those out. We have a contract in place right now to determine our stormwater management. Our stormwater management ponds. We've been working on our storm sewer or our ditches and our culverts to try and put all that together. And so when I say to you, you'll see a stormwater management master plan later this year, we'll be bringing all that as one element together. We still have fences. We still have sidewalks and curbs. We still have a number of other elements that we need to put in place so that we understand exactly where we're at. When we have that, I'm going to come back to you with a report later in this year. And I'm going to ask you to tell me what is it your expectation is. And that we'll be talking about service levels for all of those various assets. And so it's hard to tell you how much money I need for everything unless you tell me what condition you want it to be maintained in. So those service levels will be coming back to this council and asking for your verification and confirmation of those service levels. That'll be important. And finally, the previous council, we came forward with a town-wide speed limit review, changing the way we manage speed limits across the town. That review is ongoing now, and we'll be bringing that back to you later this year. On the technology-driven engagement and service delivery side, we need to move public works forward from a technology perspective. And technology doesn't replace the person, but technology helps us be more efficient and more effective. So when I ask you, or when I'm bringing forward a number of items this year that are related to technology for public works. And again, it's another tool in our toolbox. And so we're going to be updating some of our equipment this year, some of our fleet equipment. And instead of buying a truck to replace a truck, we're going to be buying a truck that is more multi-purpose, multi-use, and able to provide us more capability than the trucks we have today. We're too small with too big an area not to have all of our tools that are multi-purpose. And so we'll be changing the way we order some of our equipment this year. And finally, we're going to automate some of our service delivery. And there's two major initiatives that I think that are important to point out to you this time. First and foremost is we want a GPS AVL system on all of our operational fleet. This will let us know where our vehicles are and will let us know the details of what those vehicles are doing, how fast they're going, how much material that they're applying, where they've been, where they're about to go, if there's any issues with the equipment itself. The region implemented a GPS AVL system, and it has helped increase their efficiency, and it helped increase the safety for our crews who are out on the road. More importantly, there's a forward-facing element to the GPS AVL system, which will allow residents to go online and track their plow. Small thing, but major from the point of perspective of customer service. And finally, a new asset management software system of some sort, which we're working through today, but most importantly, we need a work order system in public works that provides us with the information we need to track what's been done to our assets and what resources have been spent against it. And those will be a high priority in 2015. And finally, maintaining Caledon's green leadership position. Green is a nice buzzword, but for Caledon, it's a little bit of a mantle for us. We want to work hard to maintain that green leadership position. Climate change is a reality, can be argued one way or the other. But from our perspective, we're implementing wherever we can designs along with energy efficient operations in order to maintain that leadership position. We want to continue to integrate green strategies and policies, and we brought a number of those forward in 2014, and we will continue to do so in 2015. Two big initiatives. One, I think, is the septic sewer inspection and maintenance program, which we're working on now. And the biggest one, which will have a major impact, is the LED streetlight replacement project. So, 2015 funded unmet needs. Again, growth related, we're asking for two new operators. So, we had a previous discussion at council about the number of operators we have. The town is short of operators. We're running about 50% above the highest recommended ratio, staffing ratio per lane kilometer of road. And we need to start changing that ratio. Can it happen in 1 year? No. Can we make a journey of it over the next 5 to 10 years? The answer is yes. And so what I'm asking today is for an operating one, we're asking for two new full-time headcounts. And you can see that the effect for this year on that is zero because we are planning to offset those positions from our operating budget, from our contract operating budget. We have some changes to regulations on the maintenance of our fleet. So we're looking for a fleet service tech. We're looking for a project manager engineering on a one-year contract, again, that will be paid out of capital. So therefore, the annualized budget amount is zero. We're asking for a senior project manager, Parks and Rec, which will come across to work on the new projects of the Mayfield Rec Center and the Mayfield Library and a number of other the rec capital facility projects. So all facility capital will be held, will be done from our PMO in Public Works, supporting public our Parks and Rec to get their new facilities in place. On the municipal leadership, I spoke to you earlier about the engineering. I would like a senior project manager. The first year we'll be working in-house on our engineering standards, the development standards to update those. Then we will have maintained that expertise in-house, and that person will transition to a senior project manager, helping us move forward with our roads and infrastructure capital projects. We have another project manager for the LED project. Again, this is a term of council project that we're bringing forward. You can see in this year's budget, it's mostly engineering development money for that project. But we're asking for a project manager on a contract basis paid from the capital to work on that LED project. The old Alton Schoolhouse, we inserted capital money in there in anticipation of our facility needs. That requirement I would like to withdraw. I'm not sure what the process is, but I don't think we need that at this point. And finally, number 23 at the bottom is the rural numbering project, a one-time expense to address the needs of rural numbering for those properties across the town that do not have rural numbers on them at this point. Unmet needs, there are two. One is for a fleet service technician. Again, we asked for three fleet service technicians based on what we figured our demand was, based on the new regulations for CVOR and vehicle maintenance. Two have been deemed unmet at this point. And a road operations tech, two of those have been, we requested two of those, and I'm happy for those two to stay where they are at this point. The capital program, we've had different views of the 2015 funded capital program. I've reorganized this one slightly so that it's built around the type of expense versus the projects. And so I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about how those come up. So one of the biggest changes that I've asked for this year is to run the Capital Works program as a series of programs. Okay? In the past, projects, all of the road projects came forward as projects. The project list for roads were approved as projects for the roads. And we dealt with each project one-off, one by one. If a project went out to tender and it came in under, the excess money was put back into the capital reserves. If we went out on our next project and it was over, then we had to come back to council and ask for approval for the additional funds to meet that project. That's a difficult way to manage a program, a capital program, especially one in the $20, $25 million range. And so one of the discussions I have had with corporate services and I was bringing forward this year is we would like to run the capital works program as a program, but within there some sub programs. So instead of coming to you and asking you for approval for each road project, we're coming to you and saying we have a roads program of X number of million. So this year our roads program, including our road safety program, our engineering design and assessment, our DC roads, our enhanced, and our regular roads program, totals $11.2 million. That's what we're asking. We have a list of roads that are on there. We're still refining that list of roads based on, at this point, we know what roads we'd like to do, but we're coordinating with the region today to make sure that, or now, to make sure that there's no conflicts with road sewer or region sewer and water projects at this point. So that list may flex and change slightly, but we're asking for $11.2 million for roads. You can see there's a couple individuals in there, Bel Air and New Love, for example. We separated out of the roads program because it was kind of a semi holdover from 2014. The road safety program, $292,000, is new, something we haven't seen, but it's based on those things that need to happen on the road that haven't been happening. So we need barriers. You know, we go out on site and we see turns and curbs that are right on the edge of, rather significant drops. We need to be able to put road barriers up. We need to adjust signs. We need to be able to do a bunch of those things. And so a road safety program we'd like to introduce this year and move forward on a regular basis. The bridge program, 2015, you're probably used to seeing about $1 million a year in bridges. We're asking for $3.5 million. Why? Because 54% of our bridges across the town right now are in critical condition, and we need to start spending money on our bridges. And so we're asking for a 3.5-time increase in our bridge program for this year to start to recover our bridge and assets and move them forward. There's a number of other projects that are in there. Our fleet, sorry, I'm on the wrong page, I apologize. There's some individual town generators, some HVAC. So one of the big projects on our facility is the heating, ventilating, air conditioning system on the town hall here is old, as old as the building itself. Not very efficient, not very effective, and you can see the temperatures vary widely across this building. I just thought it was me going through menopause, but it's not. Apparently it changes. So we're asking to start the project of replacing the HVACs in the town itself. Okay. Again, the Alton Old School House Rehabilitation, that one now at this point, we'd like to withdraw that requirement for $50,000. On the special project side, the biggest one up there, there's two big ones, is the LED streetlight program. And all as you're seeing there is the project management, and you're seeing the start of this project. The LED lighting project is a major undertaking. We have 5,400 or almost 5,500 streetlights across this town, all of them old HPS lighting. The conversion to LED lighting is an expensive one, but has a payoff of 5.5 to 7 years. And then the payoff continues to come back to the town in the tune of $500,000 to $550,000 a year. We think the LED project is a good investment for the town. A lot of other major municipalities are pursuing that. It's a big one-time upfront expense, but the payoff is huge as we move forward. McEwen Drive is another one there for $500,000. We're looking to expand McEwen Drive west of Simpson Road. The reason there is we can open up another 5 or 6 properties for commercial development if we start down that area. As I come down, the stormwater management you can see is in place. The Caledon Village flood studies there for $90,000. Coming down sidewalks, we are asking to start our sidewalk and curb rehabilitation program. Again, sidewalks have been given second class citizen status for a long time. We have a significant amount of sidewalks across the town. We need to maintain them, not only from a liability perspective, but to maintain those assets. So we're asking to start a sidewalk and curb rehabilitation program, and we're going to do a number of those maintenance repairs in-house, and we will have a contract out to do that. You'll see one big number there for Tormina fence replacement. This is a long-standing requirement to replace the acoustic wall along the CPR line in Bolton. This is the result of a lawsuit that the town lost a number of years back. We need to put this one to bed and finish it, so we've put enough money into this project at this point to get it completed in 2015. One of the other things that we brought forward, remember earlier in my presentation, I talked to you about the fleet. We've done a pretty good review of our vehicle fleet across the town, and it's not insignificant. We own a lot of vehicles. What is there, Mike? 330 pieces of equipment? 330 pieces, so you know, almost one piece of equipment for every staff member we have, right? We need to maintain this. We need to improve it. We need to make it more effective. And so we have a service level replacement program. What does that mean? Those are current vehicles that we have in place that are at the end of their life that we still need and we would like to replace with new vehicles similar to those vehicles. And then we have a 2015 new equipment requirements, and those reflect new capabilities or areas where we think the town should go. And so that list includes things like we think we need a street sweeper in the town. We need the capability to do that, and so we're asking for a street sweeper. And so we're looking for new equipment, and I already spoke earlier about the GPS AVL. Finally, we have some traffic projects on the go. The transportation master plan, probably poorly worded, but really it's about we need a study to get out there to define what the future of our road network across the town is going to look like, what the characterization of those roads is going to look like, what they should, how they should be designed, how they should be built, specifications designed so that we can go out to tender to replace that road with that kind of road. And this is important for us. We've got to stop replacing like for like. The reality is the town is changing yearly, and we need to, our roads need to change to reflect those. So that's our capital funded program request for 2015. Part of this request came from a full review of the capital works program that was in place in 2015. And a number of the projects were there. We're back to 2008, 2009, 2010. A lot of the definition as to what they were there and why they were there, we weren't sure. Some were completed and hadn't been closed, and that was, not, again, not a criticism. It was a matter of people were thinking, well, just in case, there may be something else coming. So we've come together with a list of capital projects that we recommend to be closed. There's a reason for every one of these, and I can answer any questions that we have. There's two pages of them, and they're core to the budget that's coming forward. If we don't close a number of these projects, then you know, we're going to have to find the money that is against these projects somewhere else. And so pretty key that we close these projects. I have full confidence that a lot of these requirements will either be addressed somewhere else as we move forward in a capital program or that the requirement no longer exists. So I can answer any questions that you may have on that as we move forward. Again, capital budgets recommended to be reduced. These are projects where we reviewed them one by one to take a look at where we're at and where we think that we actually overestimated or we don't need the money based on contractual values. And so we've asked, again, there's another $1.4 million in reduction in the capital works budget. Again, these reductions reflect opportunities for us to rezog or reconfigure the capital works program for 2015. Where will those capital funding sources go to? Ms. Tollett had this slide in her package at the very first day. Just let you know that all the money doesn't come back to David's bank account. Peggy wants to put it somewhere else, apparently. Anyway, I think it's unfair, but it is what it is. Okay. So again, those questions, if there's any questions on where that goes and why it goes, we can answer that afterwards as well. So unfunded capital requirements, there's one in there which was not approved, which is an alternate fuel trial fleet. I think there's an alternate way to do this alternate fuel trial. I'm quite happy for it to stay where it is. So that completes the presentation for Public Works, and I'm available to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, David, for your presentation. Just a couple of things. The LED project, did that go out to tender?
Through Mayor Thompson and Councillor Groves, no. The only portion that's out on the street right now is for our consultant. We're looking for a consultant right now to help us to do three things. So first of all, to confirm our business case. We've done a preliminary business case, which we think is not too bad in-house. So we've completed that. We'd like him to confirm the business case, make sure that, you know, we've got it right. We're asking them to do a survey of the other local municipalities. Again, we've done that, but we want them just to reconfirm the numbers. And we're asking them to produce three specifications for us. One is for the purchase of the lighting, the purchase of insulation, and three is for adaptive controls for the lighting system, which will help us manage and increase the energy savings, and then help us walk through the tender process for all three of those as we go out to tender for the two phases of the project.
Okay. On D2.5, your engineering position, so I guess the way I'm reading it is it'll be for a 12-month contract, but then is this person going to be on staff full-time after that 12 months?
Correct. We're asking for a full-time headcount. We need more project management resources within the public works. Again, we're not dealing with a $3 million capital program anymore. We're dealing with 20, 30, 40 million. We need more project management resources. So in order to bank this and get some experience, we're asking for full-time permanent headcount, and this individual will work the first year doing the engineering development standards and then convert into a supervisory position in the project management area for year two and beyond.
And currently you don't have anyone in your department that could do this?
That's correct.
Okay. D2.10, Jaffrey's Creek. Can you just explain that to me? Because Jaffrey's Creek, I don't know if it's connected to the development at King and Station Road.
Yeah.
Okay, so could you explain that to me?
So we had our drainage superintendent help us and take a look at Jaffrey's Creek. And so our initial project ask for Jaffrey's Creek, the work that needed to be done there, it was $62,000, and that's what we're recommending is being closed. The reason why we're closing it is a lot more work needs to be done. The estimates to complete the work at Jaffrey's Creek in that area to make the flooding issues and the drainage issues go away is at $230,000 to $300,000. And so we could have left the $62,000 in there, but there's a lot more work that needs to be done. There's still a requirement for the work that's done there, but we're short almost $200,000 to do the work. So what we'd like to do is complete a little bit more work. We may have to get some engineering drainage work done, then come back to this council with a separate project for the full amount to do the work at Jaffrey's Creek.
I'm glad to hear that you say that there are issues with drainage and flooding and erosion and all that due to Jaffrey's Creek, because when the proponent came forward with their project at King and Station, their engineer told me, and of course I'm not an engineer, but I know from previous dealings in that area, told me that there were no issues with flooding and erosion and all
there
that.
Are.
And I did raise Jaffrey's Creek and the issues that we've had for many, many years with that particular creek where people even on Connaught are getting flooded out.
Exactly. So it was a tough decision to put it on this list in the sense of we're not going to forget it. We know it's an issue, but it's a significant project. It, you know, like I said, $230,000 to $300,000
right.
worth. And we really need to get our heads around what that's going to look like and how and when we are able to do it as a town.
Okay, those are my questions for now, but just a few comments. I'm glad to hear that you are looking at our assets. Because I agree with you, in order for you to or in order for us to budget properly and to put money away, you really need to know what you have and especially the conditions that they're in. Now, when you're looking at that, are you looking at the recreational facilities, the buildings, that sort of thing? Or are you just strictly looking at roads, culverts, bridges, and that stuff? Or are you looking at the whole thing?
Yeah, we're looking at every asset that the town owns. So we're doing it sort of one-off. So the focus for 2014, as I said, was the roads, bridges, and those, and the stormwater management system. Our priorities for 2015, and you'll see some money in there for a building condition assessment. We've asked for $200,000 this year to complete the building condition assessment. That's all town facilities, include the recreation facilities. At the end of 2015, as part of the budget process for 2016, we're hoping to come forward with a facilities management work plan over the next 10 years to say, here's how much money we need to maintain our current assets for the next 10 years for facilities itself. That will include rec.
I'm glad to hear that, because that's a fiscally responsible thing to do. And in order for us to properly form budgets moving forward, we really need to know all of those things. The other comment I have, I'm glad to also hear that you're using your staff and you're utilizing them to do some of these other works that you talked about as opposed to the consultants, because I really have an issue with hiring all consultants all the time when you do have staff that you can utilize. So thank you for that.
And I understand that. And you know, 2 points there, I think, important. Where we need the expertise in-house, it's important to develop it and maintain it. Unfortunately, there are some areas where we need consultants, first of all, because we don't have the expertise, but second of all, we want to transfer the liability to somebody else. So there's two good reasons to have consultants, okay?
Well, yeah, I like the first one better, where you look at what your staff is capable of doing and utilizing their expertise. I think... DCs, do you have an idea how much you have in total in your department for DCs in the reserve?
I'm going to ask Peggy to talk about that if she can. We have, you know, we have a DC budget thing. So Peggy.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, so for DCs, for roads, at the end of the last year was roughly $22 million is the balance.
Okay. So when we look at the budget and you're looking at, there's a line that says other, is that where you're taking it from, is from the DCs?
If it's through you, Mayor Thompson, so if it says reserve funding, that's DCs, and we'll identify it on that one chart. Sorry, I'll just get it in front of me. So when you refer to that one page on the front of the binder for capital, if it says other, that could be sponsorship. That could be from a project that he's closing, the funding that he's closing. That could be benefiting landowners, so like McEwen Drive is benefiting landowners. Mm-hmm. If it's DC reserves, it's identified as a column as development charges reserve.
Okay.
And it should be on there.
Okay, so I guess when I was reading it, I had questions because I didn't know where this other funding is from, and I think that the public, I think the gentleman who spoke yesterday, I think he was a little unclear on some of these things as well, and even for us, just for our benefit, to know where the other funding is coming from. It's just for us to know, so that when our residents are asking us, well, what is this? Because there are residents who go through the budget and they look at almost everything and they want an explanation, and I don't know, because I didn't know what the other was. So thank you for that, and maybe going forward we could have something in there where it explains where that other funding is coming from. Other than that, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor DeBoer.
Okay, the first one, since I got it right here, on project 15130, new equipment requirements.
Yep.
I imagine you're looking at probably a rubber-tired loader as opposed to a backhoe loader at $228,000.
It's a larger, more...
Put your mic on there, Mike,
please. I'll ask Mr. Beatty to answer that question.
Through Mayor Thompson. It's a larger, more commercial backhoe that is for our larger culvert jobs that we need to do. Generally, we bring in an outside contractor for these kind of works. With this backhoe that we're going to be looking to purchase would be more advantageous for us to operate ourselves, and it's a good asset for the company.
So it's a large rubber tired, essentially, yeah, excavator.
Yeah, yeah, it's a, the smaller ones that we get are good for lighter jobs. It would be comparable like a 450 Cat with all the tools on it. And being the tools, they're the packer and pick. They're about, well, they have a quite a value in themselves. So that's the all-in-one price.
So this is the machine that's going to allow you to replace essentially the larger Crossroad culverts.
It has a big depth force of 23 feet, and that gets us down to most excavators that we would have to bring in. And then with that, too, we have the additional tools that will come with it, being the pick and the tamper.
Pick and the hammer, yeah. Packer.
Yeah.
So you can do all of that in-house.
We'll
then
do it all in-house.
When I think about laneway culverts, that's more of a small backhoe, conventional backhoe style.
Yeah, well, we have a great all we can use in that sort of application, but this one gets us, it's a more of an all-around, larger, more commercial unit for us.
Okay, and with the added workforce, the operators, you've got the staff, and this is going to be one machine that's going to cover across Caledon then?
Yep. It's going to be used for our culvert program primarily, and we have multiple attachments for the front as well. So, again, it's when Dave was talking about multi-purpose unit, this will be doing that for us.
Okay. So this will replace any need for a contractor with a steel-tracked excavator?
Yeah, if it's now, if we can't, if it's beyond our, like, 23-foot reach, you know, we're going to have to look at bringing in something bigger, and that's one-time off rentals that we might have to come across, but this should do 99.9% of our works.
Yeah. The majority of it.
It'll be rare.
Okay. Yep. What's the intent? You talked about Alton Schoolhouse rehabilitation and operating costs. What's the intent there? Because my understanding is we've ended up with the building. When you end up with it, you got to do something with it.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. So we're requesting that both those projects be withdrawn at this time. Reviewing the requirements, or we're reviewing the Alton Schoolhouse at this time. So this was brought forward to previous council, and the Alton Schoolhouse was to be, the lands that the schoolhouse were to be sitting on were to be transferred to the town once the regional sewer was brought in and the school was hooked up to it. The decision by the region not to hook up that sewer probably changes the game as to what's going to happen with the Alton Schoolhouse. And so we need to review that requirement on a go-forward basis as to whether the town actually needs the Alton Schoolhouse or not. And when that decision is made, if we'll come forward to council if we need it with the decision, including any capital and operating funds that we would need to do that.
So essentially going back to the school board in the
they
original
still
discussions.
Own it today, and in fact they're doing maintenance on it as we speak.
Okay. The project manager for LED.
Correct.
You had talked about needing or wanting a consultant to review the work that we've done. Could the consultant and the project manager for LED not end up being the same thing? Like if you bring in a project manager specializing in that for the one-term contract, could they not review the work, and would it be... Yeah.
That's a good question. We're looking for a very specialized individual that's done and already had experience implementing LED projects to help us prepare the specifications. The project manager itself will, first of all, be managing the consultant as part of his or her job, but secondly, we'll be managing the implementation of the three contracts that we're planning to go out with. So the skill sets are a little bit different. One is a technical expertise, and the other one will be an expert in project management to help us move forward with that project, because if you consider we have 5,400 streetlights over a large area, it's going to take a fair bit of time to coordinate the implementation of all of those requirements. So separate skill sets,
so theoretically needing two different people.
Yeah, the consultants typically are in high demand right now because a lot of municipalities want to go forward with the LED, and so they're not sort of all that interested in giving up everything to come and work for us full time.
For however long the project
for one
is.
Year. Exactly.
So they'd sooner just come in and give their advice, and then we implement it with somebody who can manage dealing with contractors.
Correct.
Okay. Back to an equipment one. You're looking at, there's a fleet of trucks, 15129. There's a fleet of trucks. I'm gathering the first three are like the plow trucks. The next bunch are, I would consider, relatively new, late model pickup trucks. Are they miled out, or and are you upgrading to something different?
Yeah. So no, they're basically miled out at this point. So what the service standard that we're recommending for our vehicle fleet, especially for the trucks and small trucks like that, is 7 years, 140,000 kilometers. That point is sort of almost an industry standard in the sense of at 7 years, there's still a value left in the vehicles, and at 140,000 kilometers, there's still a value left in the vehicles. And so, you know, we get rid of them before they become hangar queens, mm-hmm. and still have some sort of residual value, and we replace them with new vehicles that are more efficient from a fuel perspective and require less maintenance.
Okay. Now, your comment on alternative fuel, that was in the alternative fuel trial. You're just going to look at dealing with it within the current budget then and current operating costs?
So the concept of the alternate fuel trial was to take a look at alternate. There are other fuel systems that are out there since the town made the decision fundamentally to go to diesel. You know, I'm going to use propane as an example today. If you go over to the propane yard or to propane to fill up, it's, you know, 48 to 50 cents a liter. Diesel fuel still sitting at 105, 106. And yes, they're efficient for diesel, but, you know, we still can buy propane, which is just as efficient or more efficient, better power, and pay half the fuel. There is electric vehicles out there that can meet our needs in certain areas, in certain parts of our operation, maybe in regulatory services, for example. And so we made a large investment in this town in diesel, and there's nothing wrong with that decision. It's a great decision, especially on our larger equipment. But I think there's some alternatives that are out there that potentially can allow us to reduce our fuel consumption across the town. One of the objectives I gave Mr. Beatty as part of his performance objective is to reduce fuel consumption on our vehicle fleet by up to 5% a year for the next 5 years. And so that's an aggressive target. But as we start to renew our fleet and there are other technologies out there and other ways of doing business, we need to be ahead of the curve if so that we can. And every dollar saved on fuel spent is a dollar that we can use for something else. And when you're in a situation where we need every dollar we can for capital and operating, I think it is important for us to take a look at those opportunities. And so what I wanted to do is we have some vehicles coming up for replacement, and I wanted to take an alternate fuel. I wanted to take a look at buying some alternate fuel vehicles that to test them out and trial them to see if they met our needs so that as we go forward, we have alternate solutions.
With those light-duty vehicles, is that what you're thinking of doing, like a replacement of those six?
Yeah, exactly.
At one point, I thought we did natural gas filling stations at the yard. Did we do that, or am I thinking something
different? I don't think so. Not to my, Tom, do you know? No. Not to my knowledge. But again, we have, you know, I'm just using propane as an example. I'm not tied to propane, but, you know, we have a lot of large suppliers in town that are willing to put in filling stations. That's an opportunity. We already started down the path of one electric charging station in town. We're looking at the possibility of putting a couple at town hall here. Technology changes on an annual basis. I think it's worthwhile for us to at least investigate and take a look at those in a small way. And so that's why I put $30,000 in. I wasn't looking for a lot of money. It was just to give us an opportunity to discover and to see if there's a better way to do business.
Okay, but the $30,000 is actually in the unmet needs.
Yeah, and
but
so
you're going to deal with it during the. You're going to find a way to deal with it with the current existing operating budget.
Correct.
Because because we did the switch to biofuel a number of years ago, that's what also led us to decide to upgrade a lot of our fleet because the older trucks couldn't manage it and wouldn't work. So
exactly.
We have gone partway through it. So I don't think we want to have it out there that we're not. Yeah. And electric, you do have hybrid vehicles in enforcement services.
Correct, but they're close to near the end of their life in the sense of useful life from a mileage perspective. They're right now requiring more maintenance, so we're looking to replace those this year, and that's where I think the opportunity is for let the market play in a different way. So our tender will go out with a little bit different wording so that it's not just give me the lowest gas mileage. We'll take a look at the life cycle cost of some of the vehicles. So.
Okay, and I think for certain desires, especially with enforcement services, parking services, you maybe need to consider, because the officers, the people are getting in and out of a vehicle all the time, the ease of getting in and out. There's a lot of fuel efficient, not larger vehicles, but smaller utility vehicles that actually make that a little bit easier. Plus, it also provides a little bit more safety in the sense that it's something that stands up a little bit more on the road with flashing lights and stuff if they're doing parking enforcement, for example, in the downtown core of Bolton, right?
I was thinking of scooters myself, but yeah, I'm being overridden.
A Segway or something like that.
Yeah, Segway. Yeah.
Segway would work too, but I don't think we get as many tickets. The ticket revenue might fall off a little bit. Okay, I'll leave that at that for now, and I know we've had some discussions and we'll probably continue to have it. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor DeBoer. Councillor Mizzipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, David. I do have a number of questions. The first one is with respect to your suggestion that the two projects, one on the Capitol, one on the operating side, with respect to the Alton Schoolhouse, that will amount to $122,500. What is either your suggestion or finances' suggestion as to what to do with those funds? Would they be reallocated back into this capital budget for other projects? Or is that?
I guess my recommendation is we at this point don't feel that those are required, that they be removed from the budget submission, and therefore that requirement wouldn't exist. There's no approved budget to do any trade-offs on. We're just asking that those two requirements not be considered as part of this budget.
Okay, so then the capital and operating budget would be reduced by those amounts?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so going through your the capital budget, and you're going to have to bear with me because the numbers aren't in chronological order, and my binder is. The 2015 road program, Project 096, looking at the list, one of the roads, Healy Road between Humber Station and Coleraine, and this is rehabilitation. With the Canadian Tire development, is there going to be any overlapping of we're going to enhance the road, they're going to tear it up and widen it, put a turn lane in, that type of thing?
So getting, if it's all right, I like to sort of go up one step. So when we went out for the road evaluation, we had them develop a recommended road program based on the condition of the road as it sits, the amount of traffic that travels that road on a daily basis. And so they came up, they have an algorithm that they produce that comes up with a list of roads. So when we put that list together, there's no division of where the funds come or how, whether it's a DC road or a tax levy road. They just say, based on the condition of all your roads and the traffic that comes on, they give us that whole road list at this point. So when we submitted our list to you now, it was our first list. It was still had some work to do on that list, and we needed to go through it road by road. And again, we didn't get our road evaluation till the end of November, so we're rushed to get the first list to you. The concept that I'd like you to sort of take a look at is we've got a program of $11.2 million for roads. Within that, we're going to do a number of different types of roads, and we're going to refine that list by taking a look if there's some one-time exceptions and why we shouldn't do that. And I'll give you another example besides Healy. We had Heart Lake Road in the program for this year. Now, we had two sections of Heart Lake Road. The first one was from Mayfield to Old School, and then the second one from Old School to Kennedy Road. So we knew that we were doing the Kennedy Road widening this year, and the last thing we needed to do was to take another road out of the mix in that area south of Old School. So we pulled that south side. After the list was made, Heart Lake, south of Old School to Mayfield, was one of the highest demand roads, had high traffic, and it was in really poor condition. So we pulled that because we knew that we were going to be driving a lot of traffic along there because of the Kennedy Road construction project. But we left the section north of Old School to King in there because, again, high traffic, not in great shape. When we met with the region in the last week or so, or a couple weeks, the region was talking to us about their water line, the water main project that's going on, and it's going all the way up Heart Lake, and they're going to do that in 2015 and 2016. So it didn't make any sense for us to go in and rebuild Heart Lake Road North from Old School to King either. And now we're coordinating with the region to do that section probably sometime in 2016. So there are going to be changes in the road program as we go forward. Healy Road is another example. So okay. We know Healy's right south of the Canadian Tire, to come back to your question. I apologize, it took a while to get there. We're going to take a look at that, say, does it make sense to do it in 2015? If not, well, it's still got the priority within the road program because it's pulled to the top of the algorithm of a road that needs to be done. We'll pull it from 2015. It'll automatically pop into 2016 because of how high it is on the priority list, and we'll replace it with another road from lower down the list. Okay? So I would prefer, and again, you know, I'm a public servant, I'll do what I'm told. I would prefer not to get into a road by road discussion of why did you pick this and why didn't you pick that, unless we absolutely have to. Okay?
Yeah, and I guess the reason I mentioned that is more at a philosophical level, and we've gone through this exercise with New Love and Bel Air last year, is it's important that the roads program reflect also on the region's work, the town's contracts, and through all of that, it spits out, okay, this is what makes most sense. Because what might be a high demand on the roads list, when you look at other things like the region and the town contracts, it may be lowered or deferred to a future date. Yeah. So I just wanted to make that
good. And point. I think important sort of just to add to it, Councillor, not asking for a carte blanche to do whatever road I feel like, right? We will come to you with a finalized road list for 2015 and say, here it is, right? Here's what it is, based on all the changes, puts and takes that we've got from the region and all that. And then that's the road program that we will implement for the money that we've asked for, okay? So I'm not asking you for a carte blanche. I'm just sort of saying we want to run it as a program. We'll balance within the budget to the best of our ability, and if we can't, we'll come back here, and we'll tell you which roads we're going to be doing.
Okay.
Okay?
And knowing your advice was not to go road by road, I just wanted to make two more comments on roads. Royal Terrace is on here, and I had a couple comments from residents on that street that there's a drainage issue. So I'm hoping when we look at resurfacing the road that we also look at something like that, so we kill two birds with one stone. Question on Albion Vaughan Road, which has been a thorn in my side for a long time. Is the dollar value, whatever the dollar value that we would attribute to that project, is that shared with, and I imagine this would be King for that section, shared with the Township of King, or do we bear this entirely?
The simple answer is yes. The complicated answer is right now we have five boundary road agreements that have expired. We need to sit down and negotiate all five of those boundary road agreements. So that's Vaughan, King, Upper Slobovia. No, what is it? Sorry.
East Carafax.
Yes, East North End, I apologize. Aaron and a few and Halton Hills. So we've got a number of those to negotiate. Currently, the agreement on Albion Vaughan is that it's a boundary road and that the capital expenses are shared.
Okay. Okay. And my personal feeling on this is that should be uploaded to the regions of York and Peel.
That's good. And so we've had that discussion with the Commissioner of Public Works. He tacitly, he's in agreement that it's a good idea. He thinks that it is the only east-west mid-route goods route that will be used. So we've had an agreement that as soon as I can get my head above water in the next month, we're going to have a meeting with all of the parties involved to talk about uploading it both to York and Region of Peel as a Peel boundary road.
Okay. 128. Okay, we'll talk about that one. The 127, Bel Air and New Love. I don't know that I understand this entirely. The Region Appeal was in there late in the fall, did some sanitary sewer work, and we were concurrently going to do roads work on the surface. When they rehabilitate the road due to their work, does that take anything off of the cost of repaving that road because they were going to repair it anyways, or do we just take the full cost of repairing the entire section?
When the as you remember, this was an emergency or sort of last minute requirement. We asked the region at the time to tender the entire project on our behalf, so their portion, which was the sanitary replacement and the waterline replacement, ours, which was the storm sewer replacement, and then redoing the curbs and associated road work above. The estimate for our portion came back and was not acceptable to us in Public Works. So we've pulled that portion of the contract from the region, and we are going to contract for it separately from the town's perspective and complete that work in the spring or summertime this year. And it's just pure dollar savings. The region value is almost double what we figured it should be worth, okay. And so we're going to go out to tender separately.
Okay. 15-002 is the generator placement at the works yard. I better go to it because I made notes. Just putting it out there, and because I don't know it in depth, we're envisioning in the capital program, I believe it was in 2019, having a central yard. Is that in any way justified deferring this until we get a central yard, or is this something that needs to be done?
Trying to choose my words carefully. The generator that we would like to be able to put in place will be one that could be reused at another yard at a later date. The fact that we don't have a backup power source available to us in Public Works in the case of an emergency may and could cause us a lot of issues if we had a major power outage such as we had in the ice storm. So of all of the organizations that absolutely need to run during an emergency, mm-hmm. it's got to be Public Works, and right now we don't have that capability. So we're going to make sure that the generator we put into the yard one will have, you know, where with the yard when we put it in, we'll have the capability to support our operation 24/7 on a sustained basis. And if and when we get a new operations yard, we'll bring it with us.
Okay. Thank you. Project 004 is building condition assessments.
Correct.
And going back, and something struck a memory in my mind, and I did look back over previous budgets, and in 2011, there was a project, a physical assessment of small building facilities for, it was a small amount, $30,000.
Yeah.
Does that any way feed into this and supplement it? I just want to make sure we're not duplicating.
So the answer is yes.
Okay.
So we have a number of small facilities we're done. We're still using those building condition assessments today to make some of the decisions and recommendations that we're bringing forward. Those will roll in and be updated as required. Once we get the full BCA in place, it will be a living document, and we will be updating that on a regular basis as
okay,
we move
thank
forward.
You. The LED program, all on board with it, especially seeing as it's going to have a relatively quick turnover to be saving us money. Question I have is I know every time we put a light in, the electrical contractor adds that to our pool of streetlights that we have, and we get billed accordingly. When we go to an energy efficient bulb, do we, on the other hand, get a credit or a reduced rate?
Not yet. And so billing with Hydro One is very, very complicated, as Sarah and her staff have found out. We have some that are metered, some that are not. Some are on a billing model based on the general average of every streetlight across the world. I don't know, some sort of formula that they come up with. We have had a lot of discussions over the last year, Sarah and her staff, with Hydro One. They've agreed that, first of all, we need to upgrade our inventory because our inventory with Hydro One's not correct. We're in the process of starting that now based on our inventory we did over the summer. We're asking them also to remove all metering from our lights and that we would go to a one billing, like a group billing type concept. It's better for us. And they've also agreed that when we do the conversion, we'll be able to convert those and that they will give us the credits for the LED lighting. So that's where the bonus will be. And there's no, what was the name of that, Sarah? Lost revenue adjustment mechanism in place. So that was one of our biggest concerns. So Hydro One's confirmed that they don't have that in place for us. So we should actually see the savings. When we install, say, 50 or 100 lights today, we're not seeing comparative reduction because of the way we're billed.
Right.
But
okay.
We're going to try and fix that over this year before we go into a full LED project.
I'm glad to see that because we are taking the initiative to be greener, and we should be rewarded for doing that, considering we're not consuming the amount of hydro that we would with the more energy-consuming bulbs.
Yeah, so and that's if we don't see the savings, Councillor, there's no benefit in doing the LED conversion. Bottom line, we've got to see the savings on our energy bill. So.
And on that same topic, when we do put in the LED lights, and I know seeing what happened in the parking lot, it's incredible with fewer, I believe, light standards, that parking lot is illuminated better than ever has been. I have noticed on some wider streets where we just light one side, Landsbridge Street is an example, which is quite wide, that the other side, which isn't lit, which also has a sidewalk, in my estimation, is dimmer than I think it should be.
Yeah.
Are we going to assess illumination as we also go through this retrofit?
That's correct. So part of the consultant's job that we're hiring, and I apologize, Councillor, I meant Councillor Groves, I meant to tell you. So part of the job that they're going to do is they're going to take a look at all of our streetlight inventory, where they're located, because all of our streetlights now are GIS'd, including the height, the wattage, all of that. They're going to take that full inventory and they're going to create a light profile for us across the town. So if we have 100 watt HPS, they may come in and first of all tell us that we that's sufficient, and therefore we now only need, say, for example, a 50 watt LED, and that will give us the lumens that we need at the street level to meet the regulations. So that is a huge part of the work that has to be done prior to us going out, so that instead of having a ton of really powerful lights replaced with a ton of really powerful LEDs, we're going to try and reduce the wattage where we can, but still give us the regulated lumen coverage at the street level.
Perfect. Okay. I'm glad to see that's covered. The Project 15-088 is the stormwater management pond, and I think it talks about the Loring.
Yep.
And in that, when I read the description, it talks about the town needing to acquire the lands. But when I look at the breakdown of the project, it doesn't say land acquisition. Is that actually part of this project to acquire those lands?
No. So the land, there was a separate project for Loring Stormwater Management Pond for the acquisition of $40,000 that was in the 2014. The negotiations have been completed for that land acquisition, and we're just waiting to sign the contract now. So that has been dealt with. We will own the land shortly. The $355 is for the rehabilitation of the Loring Stormwater Management Plan, which will be rehabilitated both from a quantity and a quality perspective. And all of that $355,000 is coming from a fund funded by the TRCA. So that's zero cost to the town, which is an absolute bonus.
Perfect. Last one, you'll be happy to know from me. The transportation master plan for $173,000. I know this is town-wide, and I know you're aware that there's a Bolton transportation master plan. Are these, again, going to feed into each other? And
yeah. So, again, as I said in my presentation, poor choice of words. We're trying to find the right words. The transportation master plan, that's not really what we wanted to do. So Bolton's going to stand alone in the sense of what it's going to provide to us. It's a more of a higher level document. What we're looking is to come down one level is to operationalize that TMP. So what we want to know is, we know how much traffic goes on either of these roads. Use the models to figure out what the projection of traffic will be on town roads outside of the urban areas for the next 10 to 20 years or even longer. Figure out what those roads should look like. So we want to know and say, okay, right now it's a two-lane gravel country road with a one-lane bridge that goes by Councillor Shaughnessy's house, and we want to turn it into a four-lane mega highway, for example, right? But the concept is we want to stop taking a look at replacing like for like. So we want to take a look across the town to say, what are our roads going to, what are the demands going to be on our road network across the town over the next 5 to 10 years? What do the roads need to look like? And then design the characteristics of each of those type of roads to meet our long-term needs, get the specifications built for those road characters so that when we go to tender, for example, I'm just going to use Chingacuzzi as a two-lane with a small shoulders. We know Chingacuzzi is going to be continue to be an agricultural road, but we need it to have wider shoulders, so we need to expand the road base. So when we go out to rebuild that road, we're not just replacing like for like. We're replacing it with what the town needs for the long-term future, right? Because if we do a road today, we're not going to be back for a while. Mm-hmm. And so replacing like for like is not always working. So I didn't know what the word was to call that study. We call it a transportation master plan. It could be a road characterization study. It could be a road usage characterization study. That's really the word, but that's what the purpose of the study is.
Okay, get it now. Thank you very much, David.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Mizzapelli. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay, so the one-lane bridge, it's not a dirt road. It's a one-lane bridge over environmentally sensitive water. And if I could keep Highway 10, when Highway 10 gets closed down off that road, I would, but I've had no success over the last 10 years. So could we do something about that?
I was just guessing about a dirt road and a one-lane by your house. I wasn't sure. So.
Sorry, we digressed there for a moment. Just three things. Wondered if you could help my counselors here on understanding why Caledon Village for the last number of years has had a serious issue with water and why that drainage study is needed for Caledon Village.
So thank you for the question. Last spring, I was called out to Caledon Village on Charleston out by where the school is. I'm sorry, I can't remember. Is that Kennedy? Kennedy Road. When I got out there, quite surprised at what was happening. So there were sump pumps running with pipes and hoses running out onto the street and down into the drainage and out from a lot of properties in that area. The ditches were full right up to the top of the road. The cross culverts that were going under Charleston were like jet engines pouring water out at high speed. And the whole area around that area, around just a little bit west of the school along Charleston, is a massive floodplain. And unfortunately, it doesn't appear at this point that the Charleston crossings, which is a large box culvert and another small one, nor the drainage downstream with the creek, is handling the amount of water that comes from upstream. And it's an entire system that extends far north of Caledon Village, comes in across Kennedy north of Charleston, comes into a massive floodplain which now has been built around on a number of occasions. There's a brand new development up by the Stormwater Management Park just north of Charleston and a huge floodplain south. The quality of life for a number of the residents in the Caledon Village is not all that great in spring, and probably I would argue a number of residents told me non-existent. The issue there is the fact that it is a floodplain. It's there and it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's just not doing, I think, as well as it should be. And what I needed to understand is, are there ways, first of all, that we can increase the quality of life for the residents there if there's a way to do it? And second of all, is there a better way for us to deal with the stormwater management that is there on a regular basis for 2 to 2.5 months a year during the spring runoff? I met with the drainage consultant on site. He agrees that something needs to be looked at. He's not sure what the solution. There's lots of solutions. Whether they actually work, we're not sure. And so instead of spending time and money guessing as to what the solution is, I think we need to do a study to say, here's what the issue is, here's what the solutions are. The solutions may be doable and they may not, but I won't know until the end of that study. And I think at this point, it's my recommendation, and it's why it's in the capital program today, is that that money is well spent, both from a town and infrastructure perspective, but also for the residents in that area. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. You said it much better than I could ever have said it, so thank you. Alton School. We pulled out roughly $122,000, and I understand that we can't invest money into something we don't own or can't lease at this moment. I've put in a drainage study for Alton, and I've also put in a parking needs study, and then there was some money on another project in Alton for about $15,000 that isn't being done either. So they're roughly a wash. I'm saying that for my counselor's benefits here, that we had about $137,000 and I'm asking for $140,000. Why we need I think most people understand why we need the parking study, because they've decided it's a tourist destination. But also, David, if you could explain why we need the drainage study and the amount of development going on there and future development and what's not ever happened there.
Yeah. So the same, not exactly the same kind of issues as we have in Caledon Village, but there have been drainage issues in Alton for as, probably as long as Alton's been in place. Now that there's more development going on there, I think we need to take the same kind of look to see what's going on with the drainage in that area. Now, previous studies, from what I understand, have already been done. CVC is involved. CVC may be able to even take the lead on this. At this point, I'm not 100%, you know, we haven't done a lot of the preliminary investigation to get who's going to do what to whom in there. I wanted to park some money into the capital budget at this point so that we have the ability to do the same kind of study, again, to address flooding issues along the Alton area. And if we don't need the money, it'll be returned. And if we only need parts of it, the rest will be returned. But I think it's one of those areas where we need to understand what's happening in one of our residential areas.
Yeah, and it's also one of our most environmentally sensitive areas with some pretty amazing river systems that come through there. Okay, and then the other one is the one project you want to close, Bell Fountain. I just want to voice my opinion and my concerns. It's unfortunate that over numerous years, the town of Caledon or councillors haven't championed causes such as the maintenance of buildings in Ward 1. We are the original Caledon, and we do have the older buildings, and they've been allowed to fall apart. The building Bell Fountain is the Mechanics Institute from 1894. We have not maintained it. We'll say it's sort of cyclical or big circle, because what happens is the buildings aren't maintained. You close them down because you don't want the people in there, and then you say it's underutilized, but the doors are closed because you won't let the people in there. And then it's an historic building, and oh my gosh, we need to be accessible, so they're not allowed to be used for public meetings yet. I think that's probably over the line a little bit, because it is a historical building. I think there's some leeway within the accessibility. But I guess promises have been made, and I think people will hear me say this often, is that when I make a promise, I make a promise. And the promise was to redo the roof. The promise was to redo the septic system there. And I've known the septic system's been shot for years. There's no doubt about that. And the roof, because it is in need of repair, is stressing on the walls, making them bulge out. I see it. I get it needs repair. But these are buildings that we can't really truly replace. And I'm really sad that previous councils have allowed it to happen. So I'm not blaming you, Mr. Loveridge. I'm just saying somebody was not watching. And so I have a hard time saying that we're going to close this building down. I haven't seen the report yet. It's coming, I understand. But I just want my council members to understand that these buildings mean a lot, and we have to start maintaining them. I mean, in my ward, you're closing down a number of buildings, and with no plan for the future, as if Ward 1 doesn't matter. And I'm here to champion those causes. Thank goodness for elections. But I need councillor, and I need the town of Caledon to be on the side of preserving what Ward 1 holds dear, which is our historical buildings and our beautiful environmentally sensitive areas. So, comments, please.
So I'm going to make one comment, because I think it's important that it doesn't sort of lay on the floor as a presented, Councillor, and it's not a criticism. We're asking that these two capital projects be closed at this point, because we need to bring forward the Bell Fountain Community Center as a separate report with all of the information that's available for this council to make that decision. Staff will make a recommendation, and again, my job as a facilities manager or an asset manager for this corporation is to make what we think are good financial decisions on behalf of the taxpayers, or recommendations, not decisions, excuse me, make good recommendations on behalf of the taxpayers, and we'll make those recommendations based on the facts that are available to us. And so we are asking that these be canceled, because our plan is to bring forward a full report on the Bell Fountain Community Center at a later date, with all of the facts and numbers and information available, and let you make, as a council, a decision then.
Then how do I, if there's no money for repair, then I have a building that's sitting there deteriorating that I can't use, and then we're another year down the road before I can come back to council. And it's not always, like if you said taxes, well, I'd hate to see what taxes Ward 1 pays in comparison. So I've been told I'm not supposed to go down that road, but I'm saying we pay a heck of a lot of taxes and we don't get a heck of a lot for it. And I'm not mad at you. Yeah. I'm mad at the system that failed. I just don't know how. I looked at the roof. I actually went out and I walked around the building on the weekend. And I am, you know, because I come from the construction background, and took a good look at it. And I don't think we can wait another year to let that roof sit that way.
So, Councillor, first of all, it will not be a year until we come back with that report. We have it drafted today. It's a draft. It hasn't been reviewed in full detail yet. Our plan is to bring it forward sooner rather than later so that you and your council members could have that discussion.
Fair enough. I just trying to figure out how I get the money when the budget closes on March 3rd then.
Peggy has lots of it.
Tongue in cheek. Thank you.
Just kidding. She doesn't. No.
Okay, you're done. Okay, thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. Councillor Downey?
Very simple, actually. Just a quick question. I'm going to go back to your objectives and goals. We talked about, did you switch the page on? The speed traffic study. I just want to know timelines on that. And is that TAC document, like, is that something that we can get our hands on? Can we look at it? Can we review it? Or is it maybe not user-friendly for the general public?
So first question, time frame. Our final report is due from the consultant in June. There's draft reports earlier than that, but we've asked for it to be done early June, so that we're in a position to bring forward a report on speed limits, ideally before the summer if we can. That was a commitment we made to the previous council. The TAC guidelines are readily available, and I can ask... Okay. Mr. Grodecki to send those to you or anyone else that's interested. They're readable, understandable, but it's important that, you know, you as a counselor understand how we determine speed limits and what the guidelines are.
So after you receive that report, then how do you plan on implementing the findings?
I'm sorry?
How do you plan on implementing the findings of that report? Like, I have residents in Ward 2 that will go one way or the other. They want it up, they want it down.
Yeah. And that's the reason why we did this study. Was part of it is, first of all, to change the new TAC guidelines, but second of all, to bring some consistency to the speed limits across the town. And so we're going to bring that report forward with the recommendations from the consultants. We've already asked the consultant to come forward to present the report to this council. And then along with that will be a report from staff or my staff on the recommendations. It's going to be an interesting conversation, I think. We'll see how we're going to implement it and what the recommendations are based on what we find in the report.
Okay. How are you going to rate it on how many potholes or?
There's no potholes in Caledon, Mayor.
Oh, craters. Sorry. I stand to be corrected. Thank you, Councillor Downey and Councillor McClure. You're next.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Thompson, and you're doing a great job, Ken, and it's a good report, but a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Under work being done, yard structure repairs, what yard is that in?
Yard 2, right, Tom? Yard 1?
Yeah. Is that?
Sorry, I'll ask Mr. Darlow to answer the question.
Bring your microphone.
Through Mayor Is it on? And you're through on. Mayor Thompson. The structural repairs were actually done at both yards one and two.
The yard, okay, so.
Yeah, so up in Calden Village and the one on Castle Dirk Side Road.
All right, okay. I just wonder where they're getting done. Is the one on Castle Dirk Side Road, is that yard going to be closed at some point, or is that?
Okay, so initially we're going to continue to run both yards. We have two yards from a public works perspective.
Yeah.
The plan was to run that, the new amalgamated yard or the new operations center for public works initially in the 10-year plan was a little closer in.
Yeah.
It's now been moved out to 2020, 2021, I think, somewhere in that area. So we need to complete a review of how we are doing our operations. I'd like to see a short-term amalgamation of our yards into one, but I have to take a look and see if that is actually feasible.
Okay. Okay, another thing. We did Credit View Road in front of us a year ago. There's two big culverts north of Bayfield between there and Old School. I thought they were going to be done before the road was done. You did some testing on it, and one's 80 or 90 year old and it's held up the cedar posts. Is it going to be left like that, or?
Yeah, so the culverts are included in our bridge and structure program, and so it would have been ideal to do it in this year, but we didn't have the engineering completed, and I know it sounds simple, just go and pull the old one out and drop an old one in, but the ones on Credit View are a fair size. They're not small culverts. So they're part of our bridge and structure program, and I think we had a number of them that were in 2017, but I'm not sure if it's Credit View. So we'll review them and come back.
Okay. Like nothing else. You're doing a good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
That's all the questions, but I have a couple for you. The one question is your equipment, like you were talking about your big rubber-tired excavator that you're getting, the price built in, is that for training of staff as well? Because the big thing is, it's great to get all this stuff, but we need to train the operators as well. So is that part of the buying the equipment?
Yeah, if I can answer that. It includes training, actually, the computer software to actually maintain and train the equipment. We're actually looking, the backhoe that we're going to get comes with a simulator, which is essentially, it's a video game, sort of a thing for the operator to be able to train on while he's sitting at the desk and, be able to do it without worry about any damage to the equipment. But, there's training coming in with everything. There's software. There's all kinds of things that come with that, and it's built right into the tender when we put it out.
Yeah. We're no longer looking at small tractors. We're looking at big equipment, right. High-tech.
Well, so. It's just like the John Deere graders, right? That came as a package, and we had to make sure we had that, right? Because it's great to have all this new computerized equipment. But.
And it's great for our staff, Mayor, bring in this kind of equipment to do these kind of jobs, to be able to support the taxpayers without waiting for contractors and that to do it. Good opportunity for us for equipment that's well needed. So.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad the training's coming with it. I think the big thing is the LEDs. I think we beat that to death pretty well. I know LAC was doing a lot of that. We looked at that venture, didn't we?
LAS.
LAS, sorry, not LAC. Yeah. I just put my messy writing.
Sounds good on the surface, but by the time we did the business case analysis of the LAS proposal, we were up to a payback of somewhere between 22-year payback with the LAS contract. So they don't tell you that when they're talking to you about it. We're into the 5 to 7 year payback with what we're proposing, and I think that's a good investment. The LAS is not.
Yeah. I know Mississauga was having the same.
They did it themselves. Exactly. Yeah.
The other thing I was going to recommend is you were saying operators per road kilometer. And do you know how much it is by road kilometer, by kilometer of sidewalk that you need by the time you had an operator?
Yeah, and that's, again, another area. We haven't done it with the sidewalks. I'm not sure if there's a standard on sidewalks. I don't think so.
Sidewalks
20? Yeah. And we have 140 kilometers of sidewalk. So if you use the number 20, we're looking at about 7, and I think that's we're damn close to that now, right? The big one for us is the roads. We're sitting just under 60 lane kilometers per operator, and that's unsustainable as we go forward. So,
what's the recommended rate?
40 is the maximum, and we're at just under 60, 59.62 today. So, with the change that we're trying to bring some changes forward and be responsible with those changes. But over the next few years, we're going to be asking on a consistent basis for more operators.
So. Okay. Can I ask one thing? And I know I suggested this once before, but I think for when we're adding we're assuming roads. We've got a lot to assume in the next little while.
Correct.
Same as sidewalk. Can we just start that, once we start to assume that, we get, you know, as kilometers going, we assume an operator and a truck with that road assumption. We need to start to build it into a plan versus hitting every time we come to a budget. We need to develop a business plan to get our operators up, especially with the roads we're receiving. We need to start to build that in.
And that is our plan as we bring forward in 20. We have some assumptions that will be coming later this year. We will bring that forward with how many clean kilometers we've assumed over the last period of time, and we will be requesting additional resources.
So I know there's going to be a lot coming just in Southfields alone, let alone what's across the street here, that I think that would trigger us to add another. We just need to start to build that in. So as a recommendation going forward. Other than that, I don't have any further questions. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor.
You got off easy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, David, for a well-done presentation, and thank you for all your staff for being here to take part of it. It's 5 o'clock. I know we're going to break. Do you want to do, is everybody game that you want to have Judy Porter come forward, or do you want to go for lunch and we'll, or supper and then come right back within? All right. We'll go for supper, and we'll be back here for 5:30. Is that okay? Can we do that? Perfect.
Okay, ladies, you can leave Dave Loveridge alone.
He likes it.
These hot shot pilots like to show off all the time. Okay, I'm gonna call our meeting back to order, and we're gonna call on Ms. Porter to give the Human Resources Department her report. It's all yours.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson and members of council. As outlined in our business plan, the HR department works collaboratively with management and staff to provide cost-effective HR programs and solutions to meet individual and corporate goals. As an internal support and service department, HR plans, facilitates, advises, coaches, and counsels in all aspects of people-related activities. Our activities are focused on four main priorities: building capacity, the right people in the right place at the right time; building capability, the right skills, knowledge, behaviors, support structures, programs, and HR technology; optimizing organizational effectiveness, the right organizational structure and resources; nurturing culture, the right environment for corporate and individual success. Our activities are also driven by three guiding principles: being respectful, by actively listening to others and treating them with respect; being resourceful, by maximizing the use of our available resources and providing the best solutions possible; and being responsible, assuming accountability for our actions and ensuring compliance with HR-related legislative requirements as well as HR corporate procedures. In light of our key priorities, this slide outlines some of our major accomplishments. In 2014, we provided growth and career development opportunities for our staff through a blended learning strategy. What that means is a combination of in-person sessions as well as online training, which was available at any time, 24/7, home or at work, even at the local library, as long as you had an email address. In addition to these activities, we also engaged staff in education sessions on HR programs, goal setting, performance management, and compensation. We introduced an online self-assessment survey tool, which, when completed, provides staff with an overview of their individual strengths and opportunities, as well as some key developmental areas based on their profiles. Team learning sessions were held for all salaried staff in the fourth quarter of 2014, and employees will be able to use these personal profiles and incorporate the information into establishing their developmental goals for 2015 and beyond. We also introduced revised HR procedures, which were effective in January 2014. These procedures are now all current and are posted on the intranet for easy access. Related forms have also been linked to these procedures and are also available online. Health and safety training and wellness activities were also key focus areas in 2014. Health and safety activities combine online and in-person sessions, while our wellness program provided enhanced activities such as Nutrition Month, hearing testing, bone density clinics, and topical lunch and learns, with over 260 employees participating in these activities. At the bottom of this slide, you'll notice some key metrics showing that as a corporation, we do compare favorably to other municipalities. I just wanted to clarify the one item which says WSIB lost time rate. WSIB stands for Workplace Safety Insurance Board. The lost time rate is calculated on a standard formula based on the number of lost time accidents on the basis of 200,000 work hours and full-time equivalents, etc. This is a standard formula that's used throughout the industry. The lower the number, the better. So that you'll see that Caledon is approximately 60% less in lost time accident rate than the benchmark. These positive results have also enabled the town to benefit from premium rebates from WSIB for the last few years, which has made a significant impact to our benefit line. As a department, we're quite effective in our HR staffing, but are really cognizant that moving forward, we will need to review our resources to ensure that we can meet the demands of the organization. Going forward in 2015, we will continue to focus on our key priorities. We plan to launch an enhanced onboarding program. That's a new employee orientation program, which is branded as our career page is branded, Make a Difference. And that will engage employees and managers alike to provide a best-in-class orientation experience for new hires, particularly during their first 6 months of employment. We ran a pilot program in 2014 and really received very favorable feedback on it. Based on the success of our wellness program in 2014, we'll continue to provide varied activities addressing employees' overall well-being and taking a holistic approach. We'll continue to work with managers in optimizing the use of our applicant tracking system. That's the online system where we manage all job postings and resumes received. This technology has enabled the HR department to handle an increased volume of job postings and greater numbers of resumes online without additional resources while maintaining service. Managers can develop pre-screening requirements online, can review resumes online as they're received. And given a tight labor market for some positions, this technology enables managers to effectively manage the recruitment process and make their decisions more quickly. In 2015, we'll also be negotiating two collective agreements, one with our full-time firefighters and one with our CUPE members, being the Parks and Recreation Operations and Public Works outside staff. Throughout 2015, HR will continue implementing key programs such as performance management, succession planning, health, safety, and wellness. And we'll also maintain our focus on fiscal responsibility and reviewing various programs that are in place to ensure cost competitiveness. At this point, HR does not have any funded unmet needs. We do have two unfunded unmet needs, which are listed on this chart. And this concludes my presentation, and I would be pleased to answer any questions.
Okay. I don't have any questions, but okay. I got a... Oh, Councillor Ennis, I'll let you go first.
Thank you, Judy, for your report through to Mayor Thompson. This sort of alludes to some of my my motion maybe for next week, but when you mention benchmarking, mm-hmm. can you define what that means? Is that the average? Who is that compared to?
Sure.
How's that calculated?
So the benchmarks that we used here, there's two different sources. One is the Human Resources Network Annual Survey, and this is done on an annual basis with all municipalities. They do averages and they do weighted averages for municipal sector. So the sick days, the WSIB lost time rate, and the voluntary turnover, and the HRFTEs come from that survey. The voluntary turnover, because there's a number of ways of calculating it, we took that out of the Human Resources Professional Association's annual survey, which was conducted this past November. So we benchmark with different organizations.
Right. So I think it's very important for council to note that even though this is a benchmark, mm-hmm. this is not what's optimal in terms of providing continuity and maintaining corporate memory and community knowledge. Which only enhances customer service. So that's something that, you know, is part of the motion that I am bringing forward next week, but I'd like to bring that to the attention of everybody else sitting up here, as well as the fact that I think it's important for council to note, we've noted voluntary turnover, but it's important to note the complete turnover and what that proportion is to the benchmarking, and also to look at what is an optimal level of that complete turnover rate.
Yeah, and we can do that. The thing with permanent full-time voluntary turnover is really a choice that people are making to leave the organization. If they choose to retire, it's not necessarily considered as part of that. If they choose to, or if the organization chooses them to leave for any other reason, then that's not included as well. So we really do need to have finite definitions of what's included, and we can provide those numbers as well.
Okay. I've got a couple of questions, and basically mm-hmm. it's your unfunded unmet needs.
Mm-hmm.
You were looking for an assistant part-time. You have a couple of part-times now, so would this, it doesn't say that it's a complement conversion, but Is this a different part-time person that you're looking for from what you already have? I guess is my question.
Yes, it is. Basically, our concern is that when we have a number of recruitments on the go, we provide full service from recruitment. So from the development of the job description with the manager to job postings, resume received, scheduling interviews, job offers, etc. And when we have an influx of a number of things on the go, we only have one individual that does all that work. So what we were looking for is just someone to supplement those busy times. So we're expecting that, you know, once the budget is approved, if all the headcount is approved, we're going to be sending out a number of job postings. We will not be able to necessarily handle that volume. So that's why it's minimal, and that's what we're looking for. The part-time resources that we currently have actually have full-time, I won't say full-time jobs, but have jobs that fill their time. Someone that's working on our all the data entry and putting it into the system so that it can be converted to payroll, and then we have someone else that's working on the health and wellness activities, service recognition, things of that nature.
Right. Okay, no, I just wanted that, just for 11.7, I just wondered, so mm-hmm. It's just basically it's contract help is what you're
absolutely
looking for.
Absolutely, yes.
Right. And the other one is for the fund. I don't know how big your budget is, but the monument engraving. At some point, okay, I see it's out of here, but I hope it's permanent in the budget for this coming fall, because I can tell you we're the only municipality that's not there, and I think we need to do our part. And I think it sets an example. We have a lot of people that work in the workplace, and I think that's something we just... I understand it's not here this time, but let's all try as council to make sure we get that delivered on the... We'll have it on the right side of the sheet the
next
time.
Let's hope so.
But no, thank you very much. And there's no further questions, Judy, so thank you very much. We'll call on our next victim. It's not so bad, Patricia. You saw Dave go through real easy. So, Patricia DeSarro, thank you very much. And I see you've got some of your support team, if you want to introduce. I know we half of our council's new, but I think they mostly know everybody. But if you want to introduce them all, that would be really, really good.
No, now it is. Everybody good? Okay.
Oh. Yeah, just before we start, I thought I'll let Doug explain why Mary's not...
Mary's not here. There was a death in the family, and so she's off this week on a bereavement leave.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor Thompson and council members. I am pleased to be presenting to you the 2015 budget on behalf of the Development Approval and Planning Policy Department. DAP consists of the following sections, and this is where I'll introduce the managers. The building section, including the inspectors. And we have the CBO, Bill Klingenberg. The Development East is Casey Blakely. The Development West, which is Rob Hughes. Policy, which is Haiqing Zhu. And Planning Law, which is myself. So I will begin with the accomplishments in 2014. Last summer, the Amanda Portal pilot was launched for building applications submitted by select builders who opted to participate in the pilot program. To date, 58 building permits were issued through the portal. In 2015, the building section expects to roll out the program to other builders and to use the program for small residential projects such as decks, sheds, etc. In addition, the Electronic Markup Management Application, EMMA, module, is being used for permit submissions through the portal. This allows plans examiners to place markup notes or approval stamps on building plans submitted electronically. The approved plans and then the issued building permits are then sent back to the applicant directly, electronically. A main focus of DAP is always improving customer service. Overall, review time and communications between town staff and applicants have improved. So in 2014, there was a 30% reduction in resubmissions for building permit applications, and 64% of building permit applications had no resubmissions. This is compared to the previous year, where there was 45% of applications that had no resubmissions. In addition, the development section has implemented meetings with all applicants, their technical consultants, and staff to review comments provided by the town and external agencies. This also has resulted in a decline of the number of resubmissions for development applications. In 2014, the average length of time for development applications that required more than three submissions was reduced from 130 business days to 110. And lastly, there are information boards and manuals that have been created for applicants, and the letters of undertaking, which have replaced the agreements, site plan agreements in the new site plan process, have been forwarded to applicants within two business days, and actually a little bit quicker because I'm the one doing them. So another accomplishment is on the policy side. DAP policy section continues to provide policy direction to council. So as a result, in 2014, the 2031B and 2041 growth scenarios were approved by council. Council adopted OPA 237, and the Bolton Residential Expansion Area Regional Official Plan Amendment was submitted to the Region of Peel. In addition, council enacted a bylaw regarding medical marijuana, and the region approved urban boundary expansions for the Bolton Employment Commercial and Mayfield West Phase 2, both of which are now under appeal at the Ontario Municipal Board. And one of the greatest accomplishments, I would say, would be that DAP staff received two awards from the Ontario Professional Planners Institute, the OPPI, for the Caledon East Community Improvement Plan. DAP staff applied to the OPPI for one award, and then in turn, the OPPI nominated the town of Caledon for the other award, which we received from the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Moving forward with DAP's goals and objectives for 2015, as previously mentioned, customer service is a main focus for DAP, and we continue to come up with ways to improve. So as an ongoing objective, DAP staff continuously review development application processes to look for improvements and ways to streamline them. This includes updating the existing telecommunications protocol, the comprehensive zoning bylaw, process manuals, and implementing GeoCortex. In addition, DAP staff had roundtable discussions with developers and have made a commitment to meet with them to work on streamlining the process. It is our hope that we have the same type of meetings with smaller builders and other applicants. And in 2015, DAP's policy section intends to participate in a region-wide exercise to finalize the population employment forecasts of Amendment 2 to the Growth Plan, participate and advance the town's interest on the review of various provincial plans, identify and protect long-term employment lands along major transportation corridors, and deliver local official plan amendments to council for the South Albion Bolton, Mayfield West Phase 2, and the Bolton Residential Expansion Study. So in 2015, DAP is recommending some new fees. In 2014, both the development and building sections had over 900 front counter inquiries each. Many of these inquiries were from real estate agents or individuals looking to purchase or sell property in Caledon for development purposes. The responses are usually in the form of verbal comments, but we're looking to add the two top ones, building inquiry form and planning land use inquiry forms, to be able to provide written responses to these people who are inquiring. In addition, DAP is proposing to provide annual subscriptions, both by email and by regular mail, which will be delivered twice a year of the town's official plan. These new fees will add $64,000 in revenue to the overall budget. DAP staff is also proposing to increase fees by either 2.5% or a fixed rate for 2015. I'm not going to go through them all, but you're more than welcome to ask us questions. And this will increase the overall budget by about $41,000. So to improve customer service, DAP staff, together with IT, have been working on ensuring that the Amanda program can be used to its full potential. It is estimated that DAP staff spend more than one-third of their week working on Amanda updates and improvements. This, as you can appreciate, takes staff away from their daily jobs as planners, plans examiners, etc. As such, DAP is recommending to fund an Amanda analyst programmer and a trainer, and these positions will be fully funded by building permit revenues. In addition, the second point, the building technician, is to secure the position that has already been approved by council in 2014. The volume of applications projected in 2015 and the need to ensure customer service delivery warrants this extra staffing resource. Again, this position will be fully funded by building permit revenues. And then lastly, DAP is looking to retain the existing community policy planner. This was a two-year contract, and we're looking to move it to full-time. And this is to assist with succession planning in the policy section. These are our unfunded, unmet needs, and I will not be discussing them. But if you wish to give them to us, we'd be more than happy. And this last slide is the capital, the funded capital budget. DAP is recommending that these studies be funded. The total project budget is $620,000, and the tax portion is less than $186,000. The rest is funded through DCs. That concludes DAP's presentation. My fellow managers are with me, and we would be pleased to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Handled that like a pro, Patricia.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just one question. With your Amanda portal pilot, I guess the way I'm understanding it is that that was supposed to be a program that made it very much easier for building permits and applying for them and issuance of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want more information? Do you want us to give you more information?
Sure.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves. The Amanda portal, it was designed to allow residents of Caledon as well as builders to submit building permits electronically through the town's website and through the Amanda portal. For 2014, that was implemented through a pilot program for the builders that were largely production builders. Where they had certified models already in place. So essentially what they're doing is they're issuing or they're applying for issued repeats to certified models through the Amanda portal. So that's been in the test period for 2014.
Okay. So I'm just going to make a little comment. And it seems to be an issue and a problem. And I'm sure this is working and you're processing building permits, but there's still a concern out there from people who are submitting for these building permits, and it could be for anything that they're doing. It doesn't have to be a large development. It could be a garage or an addition, a shed, whatever it is. And they're still having a great deal of difficulty in timing and how these are being processed. There's a lot of delay, and I always say, if we delay them on this side, it means that our revenues don't come in as quickly. So the quicker we're able to process these building permits, the quicker we're able to collect money, and then we're able to keep some of these costs down in terms of looking at tax increases and that. So I would just put that out there as a suggestion on how we handle this. There is a project in Nick's area and Jennifer's, and it's been on the books for a long time, has gone through the process, and that would generate quite a bit of money for us in terms of development charges and building permits and taxes for a lifetime. And they're having all kinds of difficulties, and hopefully this is going to, they've made inquiries, and hopefully this will come on and things will move along very nicely. And I don't know, when someone comes in with an application, is there like a checklist that you go through and say, okay, you know, you need this, 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 and this?
Again, through you, Mary Thompson, to Council Groves. When they come to the counter to apply for a building permit, our front counter support staff, they do go through a checklist with them to ensure first that applicable law is met, but also to ensure that their package is complete with respect to drawings, applications, et cetera.
Okay, so just a suggestion, if we can maybe look at what the problem is, where the building permits that are not getting processed as quickly, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Patricia, on the whole new fees idea, first of all, the first two are new, the building inquiry form, written response, and land use inquiry form written. Is there like a, are you proposing that there is a just if somebody comes in, makes an inquiry, and you want a written response, this is what it's going to take, whereas if you just want a verbal response, it's different?
Exactly. So putting it in writing, oh, sorry, through you, Mayor
Thompson.
That's okay. Putting it in writing would warrant the fee. If it's just a verbal, then they're just getting it verbally.
Okay. On your other fees, some of these are going up quite a bit. And the one that jumped out at me was the cash in lieu of parking agreement. Now, is that the agreements that we have with Village of Bolton in the downtown core where we have development and redevelopment and you can't provide enough parking spaces and we're collecting for parking spaces somewhere down the road?
Yes, if we'd, I've, in my years that I've been here, I've not done one, but if we had to do them, yes, that's what that one is about.
Okay, because the last one I can remember was that restaurant on the corner, I think it was.
That was several years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that that was actually leaving, that we weren't doing that anymore because there wasn't really a way to satisfy and find parking spots, so we weren't really charging, and we weren't going to go down that road, so... that was why I was kind of surprised to still see it there. Go ahead.
No, like I just said, I have not done one since, and no one has asked me to do one since. But they were there just in the event.
It's in the fee schedule.
Happens. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically,
are these fees comparable? Like we've really jumped in the agreements then. Is it that our lawyer needs more money?
No. Through you, Mayor Thompson. They are comparable. We were also doing cost recovery as best as we can. $1,000 does not allow us to do cost recovery, but it's getting us there.
Okay. That was the biggest question was, is comparable? And then turnaround time.
Mm.
So I know... everybody's been working hard at reducing it, and I think you've had successes, and we keep plugging away. You know, people are willing to pay the fees, but they're also wanting turnaround time, and I know we're working on it, and we're doing well, so we keep working on it.
Okay.
But they are comparable, is what you're saying.
They are, and the other reason why I raised them was just to be comparable with my other agreement fees.
Oh, okay.
Just so it's standard.
Yep. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor DeBoer. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Patricia. Again, under the new fees, I thought you verbally said the expected revenue. It's not printed there. Did you say $64,000 annually?
Yes. Yes, under the new fees.
Okay.
The previous slide, yeah.
Okay. I just noted it wasn't shown, right. So I wasn't sure what it was. Okay. On the fee increases on the next page, the ones in the middle have the asterisks beside them?
Yes.
I'm just wondering what that denoted.
Okay, so when I do agreements, I have to do title searches and corporate searches. Unfortunately, at the time of the application, I don't know what those searches are. I don't know what the cost of the search is, because one title search costs $19. Then if there's an added page to it, that's an extra dollar. So there's these different costs that I have to then put in order to be cost recovery, because we get those expenses back. That's why there's the asterisks allow me to account for all the.
Okay, so those little add-ons would be added on to this fee?
Yes.
Okay, so if you incur them, then you pass them on?
Yes.
Okay. The last one I had is the funded unmet needs. The position number four, the last one, the community policy planner. It states it's a conversion, but usually when it's a conversion, it's a much smaller number. It's just basically taking them from part-time to full-time. And then when I looked it up in the binder, it says that there's, as I read it, that there's nobody in this position. So is it a conversion or is it a new position?
I will let Peggy answer that.
Sorry, through you, Mayor Thompson. It's a contract position that was approved in 2013 for a contract for 2 years. So the contract's completed it would be done this year. So in order to retain that person, you would have to ask for it in the budget, and that's what they're doing here.
Okay, so it's a conversion from a contract
position. Contract to your contract.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're done? Thanks, Councilor Mizzipelli. Sorry, I thought you were going to ask another question when you put your head down. Councilor McClure?
Yes, I don't have a lot, but I just have a concern that I listen to people talk about the town. Our reputation is that we take too long for people that apply for farm buildings, things like that. It takes a long time. How many applications are on the shelf right now?
I will see if we can answer that. Do you have any applications? And do you have any applications we have?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, we have over 200 active applications. Development applications.
How many of those are overdue? How many keep coming back? I don't know, but people tell me that if there's something wrong, am I doing something wrong here? You tell them it's going to be another 8 days or another 10 days, working days. It's going to be. It seems to me that this is a problem. This is what town's reputation is anyway. Is there any comment?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I can say with respect to development applications, we have updated our site plan process, and I am able, through the Amanda process, to run a report which does indicate that our site plan applications have significantly decreased in terms of the number of resubmissions. So most of our site plans are, on average, 2 submissions to get them through the process.
If they make a mistake, how many days do they have to wait to get it corrected? Are they all different, or?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, it depends, again, on how long it takes the applicant to make a resubmission. When we send out our comment letter, we do arrange a meeting with the applicant, their technical staff, along with our technical staff. And then depending on how long it takes them to make a resubmission, it takes, on average, about 2 weeks. To 3 weeks for us to turn around our site plan comments.
Okay, well, okay, that's all I got for now. But there is a reputation calendar is a problem. It takes too long. Okay, that's all I got.
That's why we got fee increases scored to speed up the process. That's what it's going to take. Councillor Downey, thanks. Thanks, Councillor McClure.
Thanks. I just wanted to make a comment through you in regards to. I guess the thing that we all recognize that there's this reputation of building permits and that department being slow. But I just want to pull everybody's attention to the fact that the department's unmet needs is all staff. So as council, we have to take some responsibility for the fact that they're asking for more staff. So if they're telling us flat out, we need more people to make this happen faster. So we have to take responsibility for that as well. If we're not giving them what they're asking for, how can we ask them to turn things around faster? Like we have to do that. It's here. I don't know how long you've been asking or how long these unfunded unmet needs have been here. I don't know. I personally have never had a problem turning around a building permit, but. I'm just saying, like, as a council, I think we need to take some responsibility for that reputation as well. It's all of us, not just your department specifically.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything more? Okay. Thank you, Councillor Downey and Councillor McClure, for your input. I got a couple of things I want to clarify. One is the Amanda system, and I got to tell you, yes, I've heard that, but I'm going to be the first on record to thank the building department for doing a good job. They are turning things around and getting things out quickly, breaking it out, and I want to definitely emphasize that there is a huge improvement over a year, and I think the building department deserves a lot of credit for that. Having said that, the Amanda system, I know it's been experimental, and I know it's tough to bring it on stream, and we're probably, a couple of years away from bringing it on full bore is the idea, correct?
I would say so, yeah.
Question is, from what I understand from...
In terms of some of the other proposals that have come forward, there's additional money requests for Amanda and GIS in the corporate services budget. If we get the approvals that we need, we have piloted the Amanda process through track housing, and now we need to do it in a little bit different. But there's absolutely no reason that if we have, by the end of this year, developers and so on that want to submit electronically, we should be able to deliver electronically. One of our holdbacks, and it's one of the problems when people talk, we take all the responsibility for the time frame and so on, yet we are dependent on conservation authorities, the Niagara Escarpment Commission, MTO, different other provincial ministries if they're impacted by it. And if all of those people were on the same electronic system, it would move a lot quicker. But we end up getting back comments that go like this. Region Appeal might give us their comments in terms of regional road impact, sewer and water impact within 2 weeks. We might get a conservation authority back in 6 weeks, you know? And it's all over the map, and they don't resource to their time frames, and development might not be their priority. Preservation of the environment might be their priority, or in the case of MTO, keeping everybody so they don't have access to their highway, right? So there's a lot of issues that have to be dealt with, and the electronic system can help us move internally a lot faster, but it can't help us with the external agencies. I mean, we have worked with a number of them to try and build that relationship, and we have provided, in fact, through our development review team process, those agencies are all welcome. And if we know we have an application that actually affects them that's going forward with development, we want them at the DART meeting to tell the developer what they want. Right. So actually coordinating the agencies and coordinating the comments is a huge undertaking by our staff. And yet we wear the responsibility of non-performance of all those responses.
Yeah. Thank you for the clarification. My question is that to get to where I want to go, and I'm putting Bill on the spot, I guess, is the Amanda does two things. It helps with the building portal, but it also helps with the planning portal. And I know the planning portal is the one that's taking the time. How soon can we get the building portal going full bore that we can run that process, or do we have to run them together? But I'm just saying, if it's just a simple building permit, surely to heck we can run that separately.
Yeah. Through you, Mayor Thompson. That was the whole purpose of the pilot, and I think we are now working out the bugs, and we will implement full in terms of going for building permits.
So we'll be able to do that this year, hopefully? Or like I'm, yeah.
Yes.
So that's the goal for 2015 is to ensure that the proper staff are in place and, you know, get our people records and property records cleaned up. Once that's completed, then there shouldn't be any more obstacles in terms of implementing the town's portal and ensuring that Amanda works properly.
That's good. Thank you very much for that. I got one more question on the funded capital budget side, and I didn't see that. And I know this is something that we've been talking and asking about, and I see we got the official plan five-year review that we have in for $200,000, but we still haven't got the official growth stuff done at the region yet. We even got a lot of other reviews underway that my opinion is a little premature, and I'm just asking, why aren't we getting our zoning and our zoning bylaws updated with our official plan that we have currently versus going through another review again?
Mayor Thompson, you're right. PO Region started its official plan review process about 2 years ago, and still they are in the process of doing the gross distributions. And it's unlikely that things would happen by the end of this year. So really, when we prepare for these budget in October. We were anticipating that the gross numbers will be released by April or by May, but this is not going to happen. So I do agree with you. Should council prefer that we start this official plan review process in 2016, we're okay, and we will be concentrated on more of like implementing those policies that are in effect.
Well, it's just my understanding that and I think you know, Hai Ching, is, you know, we're talking September now because the province is now jumped in again with a couple other little glitches. All I'm just saying is, in the meantime, instead of doing the review, is it one way of getting our zoning brought up to date? And I know that's a huge challenge. It's a challenge for anybody, and I think that's what part of our process is. If we can get our zoning updated with our official plan, I think that could change a whole lot of attitude to the businesses that we serve. And I guess the question is can we look at that? I know this is a proposal, but I'm just saying, can we look at putting some of this cost, you know, from the official plan review and put it into that, I guess.
I'd like to answer that, Mayor Thompson. One of the projects that I've asked the planning department to work on this year, which is all of the zoning, but our objective should be that you have one planning approval.
Yes.
So right now you can have, you come in, you can require an official plan amendment. Okay, maybe you don't need an official plan amendment because the official plan says you can do, the zoning's not there, so you need a zoning.
Yeah.
And then after that, we ask for a site plan and or a subdivision process. So we have at least three different ways, and even if you're going through a variance or consent, it can be three different ways as well. And so the idea is to, let's see if we can eliminate a layer, which at least makes the official plan and the zoning consistent. That gets us down to a maximum of two.
Yeah. And I think Halton, Burlington and Oakville and Milton have all gone that way. I think Halton Hills have. I think they all have now gone that way, and I think that's really good. But I'm just saying is just, I know with even zoning in Bolton, you know, everything's got so site-specific, and I'm just wondering if that is just not an exercise we can do. And I see the 200,000, but there's no doubt that we can stretch that out, break that off, get our zoning in place, and by the time the official plan starts in the fall, you have some money to start, but we'll pick it up with the later, with our budget that we do this fall.
Again, through you, Mayor Thompson, one of the reasons for not just thinking about it in terms of sort of a eliminating a decision that you're duplicating, but it also removes anywhere from 6 months to a year in the actual development process.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I guess my question is can we take that back? And it's just, I think, you've heard council's frustration, but I think here's a solution that we can accomplish, knowing what we have here on our five-year review. We'll be next year, if we can implement these other programs instead, we'd be very supportive. You know, leave the money where it is, but retrack it for this year. That's what I guess is I'm asking from staff. Okay. All right. Oh, Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just a question that came up as a result of the conversation with respect to Amanda and some of the frustrations people feel going through the process. I understand it's an electronic process. Do applicants have the capability of logging onto their file and seeing the status of it, seeing the comments that are received, those are still outstanding?
Yes.
They do. And I think that is helpful, too. And to Councillor Downey's comment, you know, it's easy to point the finger at staff, but we empower and give the positions to staff to meet the demand. And there's also the process itself, which if the applicant gets on there and looks it up, well, all the staff comments are in, but I'm waiting on the Niagara Escarpment Commission or what have you. I think that's helpful tool too for the applicant to know where the holdup is, because it's usually they always come to the town of Caledon's desk. They just assume it's the town of Caledon. So I think that's a useful tool in the Amanda system.
I think Mr. Lingberger would like to add a comment, if that's okay.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just, it's not to interrupt Councillor Mizzapelli, but I just want to make a general comment that reviewing the development application statistics in 2014 versus 2013, we've reduced the overall development approval process by almost 3 weeks. So it's not something that only we're seeing results through the building department, but overall through development approvals. So as difficult as it is, as the CAO has mentioned, you know, we're at the hands of external agencies. We are working on processes, and we're starting to see some results.
Thank you so much for that. Okay, you're done, Councillor Misipelli? Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Just one quick question. How many staff do we currently have in the planning department?
I would say approximately 60.
60? Okay. I don't expect a breakdown now, but if I could just get a breakdown of sort of how many are planners and policy and that sort of thing. And
okay.
Okay. Thank you.
If I could add to that, just to clarify, when Patricia made that comment, through you, Mayor Thompson, that also includes both the plans examiners and the building inspectors.
Yeah. That's okay. Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor DeBoer?
Yeah. I was going to say, the other comment to Bill's, or the other addition, first as a comment to Bill, is that the ones we hear about are the ones that are most complicated and the ones that end up having multi-levels and the ones that don't go smoothly. The ones that basically run through the process and they happen very quickly, we never hear about those ones. We just hear about the ones that we're waiting for the region to change a totally different direction on something or conservation. So, but I guess the other question is if you're looking at not needing, and I know that's the capital funded, but the three positions that are here, planning technician in your unfunded unmet needs, planning technician, and then the two community development planners, the two community development planners would be frontline delivering two applications. Is the planning technician the position on the policy planning side of it? Where does that position fit in the whole thing?
Through you, Mayor Chair. The planning technician position would be a development position. They would be handling a lot of general inquiries, customer service matters, counter inquiries, doing a lot of the preliminary meeting activities and things like that. That would be the main thrust of what that position would.
The planning technician?
On the planning technician on slide 7. Yes, this one there.
Okay, because I thought that would have been the role of the community development planners, was meeting the frontline people. Like, the community development planners is Stephanie, right?
Community development plan. She's a senior development planner at this point in time.
Trevor Horman.
Trevor Horman, yeah.
Okay.
The community development planners as well handle frontline things, but the technician, it's a level below the community development planner, but they would be handling, they'd be more involved in the frontline activities, whereas a community development planner, they would be processing applications, writing staff reports, implementing bylaws and OPA documents and things like that. They'd be doing a lot of the technical information, whereas a planning technician would be more of the frontline activities.
So that would be the person in charge with being at the front counter, at the building department counter, gathering the information on an application, making sure it's all complete, making sure it's there, and doing the preliminary work?
They would be doing a lot of that work, yes.
And then they'd gather enough preliminary information to turn to one of the community planners or the senior development planners?
That's correct.
Okay, so out of the three then, which one's the one, what are you lacking? What do you want, 2, 3, if you had a choice of ranking them? You don't have to come back now. Give us something in the future. I didn't want to put you on a spot or anything.
Well, you did put you on the spot.
I'm Ellen. Mayor Thompson? Sorry,
yes,
I could answer
sure.
Councillor Groves' question.
Yes.
So the full-time staff in 2015 is actually 48, and that includes the director, an admin staff. In planning law, there's 4, and this is full-time, not contract. Development East is 8, Development West is 8, Policy and Sustainability is 8, and Building and Support Services is 18. Am I going too fast? Okay.
Yeah, now you know.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, Patricia, that's all the questions. Well, Councilor McClure.
Can we get that list?
It's in your binder. Do your homework. Too busy worrying about your chickens. Have they left yet? Okay. We have no further questions.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, Patricia, and thank you very much to everybody staying late and putting up with all our grilling questions. So thank you very much on that. Now moving on, as you know, I added a number six with the notices of motion, but I'm going to ask Mr. Barnes to first comment on the notices of motion.
I raised this through you, Mayor Thompson. I raised it with the mayor a little while ago, that some of the discussion around issues that people wanted to deal with, there is a variety of impacts, and one that comes to mind immediately was Councillor Shaughnessy talking about adjusting two projects to deal with another project in the same area. And one of the things we need to think when we go through this is the funding sources might be different in the different projects, so we don't know if it balances. So what I was recommending to the mayor was it might be a lot better if we had the opportunity as staff to work with councillors on the motions over the next couple of days to make sure we organized it properly, and then actually have a session on motions on Tuesday the 10th.
Okay. Having heard that, we can do that, but anybody that has a motion that's ready to go, here's your chance. So if you just put it on the board, I will put your names down and I'll call them off as they're ready. Okay, Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. And I guess on the heels of Mr. Barnes' comments, my motion reads, whereas the Town of Caledon's 2015 proposed budget is not yet finalized, and whereas Council will be considering all motions to amend the 2015 proposed budget at the March 3rd, 2015 Council meeting, and whereas amendments to the 2015 proposed budget may have financial and work plan implications, therefore be it resolved that appropriate departmental staff speak to each motion on financial and work plan implications and any other comments for Council to consider at the March 3rd, 2015 Council meeting as part of the final budget discussions.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
This one I actually put by staff, so it has a dollar value, and it's for Mr. Loveridge. Whereas the Town of Caledon has not completed the Alton Village study, and whereas the study would provide information on parking needs for the village, and whereas Alton has been identified as a destination in the town's tourism strategy, therefore it is necessary to undertake a parking study to support tourism and economic development in the village, and that Public Works undertake a parking study, and that the study in the amount of $40,000 be included as a funded capital request in the proposed 2015 budget deliberations to be considered at the March 3rd, 2015 Council meeting.
Okay. Any others? Councillor DeBoer.
Okay, I've got two. Be it resolved, the staff be asked to review the budget to reduce the amounts that will be less than one full year staffing requirement and adjust those lines accordingly and apply the savings to the capital budget, and that staff bring a further list of recommended capital projects for the March 3rd meeting. And another one is, whereas staff are recommending the removal of Public Works operating number 23, be it resolved that staff consider Library Board number 8, Youth Services, as an addition to.
Okay. No further? Okay. I will now turn it over to public question period. Anybody from the public wish to come forward and ask a question? What I will ask is, we have 2 minutes for this. I kind of ran over yesterday, but I think I wanted to give everybody a chance. So I know the clerk's telling me to abide by the rules. But if you could please state your name for the record. Thank you.
I got too many things here, so I guess I'm not going to be able to do that. My name is Sherry Broshi. I'm a resident of Caledon. I am super excited. The conversations that are going around this table and rectifying problems. Planning is stepping it up, and we're moving forward. And I'm so happy. Like I can't have, you can't tell you how happy I am. Couple things. One, the slide that Peggy and Fu Wing brought forward earlier, like from that to show the difference in the percentage. I just want to thank you for doing that. And now we have other motions that are coming. Is it possible that we could continue to update the public of how it's fluctuating and possibly fluctuating and somehow put it on the website or whatever? Like, it's not in the agenda what you showed today, and that's why I was asking about that. I don't know if it can be done or not. Okay. Secondly,
Hold on. I'm going to let Fui.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, we can certainly put it on the website. One of the reasons why it was not on the agenda today is because it included motions from yesterday.
Yeah,
and you know, these things were prepared last week.
That's great. No, and I knew that. Like, I absolutely knew that. Secondly is Public Works. Awesome job, buddy, about moving snow. Compared to the November storm to yesterday's, it definitely got changed, and that's awesome because I know people didn't get their roads plowed for 2 days. And this time it was done, like within less than a 24-hour period. So good job to Public Works. Now I'm going to touch on a bone of contention, and I'm sorry to do this. The question was asked yesterday by Councillor Groves in regards to the tax revenue for Canadian Tire. You were gracious enough, Mayor Thompson, for this report to come back. I forgot about this report. I have this report at home, actually. And you talked about, Fu Wing, today that it was an $800,000 tax assessment. However, going back to the beginning of the budget process, you said to us that when you pull the building permit, it takes roughly 3 years for it to show up on the tax assessment. I'm even going to go 4 years. So if the building permit came in 2014, I'm going to start possibly seeing this tax assessment from this particular property at $800,000. When I looked at the presentation that was given to council the very first day of the budget and the public side, I looked at the 2017 and 2018, and we're sitting around the $200,000 mark. So now my question is, where's this $800,000?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I guess I'm not quite sure what the question is. If the question is whether we estimate that it will be $800,000, that is still our projection. It takes, as I mentioned in the presentation, it takes several years from building permit stage in order to get it on the tax roll.
Yeah, but you're not answering the question. From what I'm going by, what you guys are, okay. Do you understand where I'm coming from, Mayor Thompson?
I think there's two things going on. First of all, the assessment doesn't come on in one shot. So I think one of the things we explained when we walked through that chart of it coming on is that when you look at something like the Canadian Tire site, the actual designation of the property went from agricultural immediately on the rezoning, from our point of view, but a couple of years it takes for impact to put it on. So what you have is a gradual increase. So it doesn't come on going from agriculture, let's say, of $10,000 on that property to $800,000 on one shot. It comes on in chunks every year.
Okay. So even if I go to 2021, I'm still not seeing this over $500,000. Like, that's the part, like, I don't get it. Maybe I'm wrong, and if I'm not getting it, I'm sorry.
Okay, and through you, Mayor Thompson, sorry, I misunderstood the question. I understand what the question is now. So in the report, if you note in the report, a lot of the properties listed are listed as residential. So as the CEO mentioned, it doesn't come on all at once. So the first stage of this would be flipping them from residential to industrial or commercial and non-residential. And at that point, we will see an increase in assessment revenue. So and then after the facility is built, MPAC will then go back and do an assessment, and then we will receive an additional tax increase or assessment growth related to that.
Okay, so let's go with that. So you're projecting that this is going to be $800,000. We don't know the actual until MPAC steps in and the final things start going. My question to you now, is this net revenue or is it or not?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, that is gross tax revenue.
That's what I thought.
because, in the report on that same line, the estimated expenses related to that is $700,000.
So then possibly the net revenue can only be $100,000.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, the math is correct.
That's not a lot. Okay, so let's get on to better. I just needed to understand what was going on. The other thing is to the cost recovery under planning. The fees that are projected. Sorry, I apologize that I'm not better prepared.
I think it's page.
I happen to hear this. It being said that it's not cost recovery. I guess my question is why? Why are we not implicating fees for development that are not cost recovery? We're losing money.
Right.
Mr. Barnes?
So we have to do a review of the fees all the time, depending on what our actual costs are. So we have been trying to track our costs every year in terms of different activities. And I think what Patricia mentioned now is she's been tracking her costs in terms of agreements. And so she is now almost on cost recovery, we believe.
Okay.
We do the evaluation. If it's not there, next year we'll be moving on it as well. But the idea on planning or on development, right, is whoever wants the development should pay for the service. And that's what we're attempting to do.
Okay. Yeah. Because I don't want to hear, you know, development doesn't pay for itself. Because I've heard that, and it's costed me money. And I don't want it to cost us any more money. I want us to make money. Anyway, thanks. And it's encouraging to hear the conversations. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public? Any other questions from the public? If there's no further questions, I call question period closed. And we have everything. Thank you. We will continue with our next meeting, which is February 10th. Councilor McClure, if I can have you make your motion of adjournment. Okay. All in favor? Thank you, everybody, for putting up with us today. Thank you.
Turn this off. Something funny.
Then it's fine.
What do I do? Hello?
Okay, so because then it's like